Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Welcome to Gen Exhausted. I'm Chris.
I'm Rich.
I'm Jess.
And the queen is dead.
The queen's dead.
Well, not you, Jess. Not the queen of the show.
I don't claim that title.
Well, technically would be.
Hey, thanks.
The queen of England, though. See?
Yeah.
That's generally our reaction. But I feel like...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about it, you know? Like, she was 96.
Like, it's current event, though. Like, we got to talk about it, right? Like, it's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
A 96-year-old woman died. Oh, no.
This type of shit that just reminds me of... Because obviously, as you can tell by our accents, we're from Canada. And, us not being British, us not growing up with a monarchy, I mean, like, I guess it's part of our culture. What could we compare it to? Like, Reagan dying, Daddy Bush dying. Like, a former president, I'm guessing, is like, it would be the closest thing that we could compare it to. But even then, it doesn't feel like it's the same thing. It just, I don't really think there's a cultural, like, one for one in America
for this. And what are they the monarchs of? Like, everything they've, like, we're independent, India's independent, Australia's independent, Canada's independent. Who the fuck are they the monarchs of anymore?
I think they're just a fucking giant tax money sponge and generate tourism for Buckingham Palace and the surrounding area. That seems to be the argument everybody who supports the continued paper monarchy, I guess. What else would you call it? I don't know. I mean, because the queen
doesn't have any real power?
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think she's more of a figurehead. She's like the governor of Texas.
Like, if World War III breaks out, like, is she standing in the room with fucking the English prime minister being like, we got to get him? Like... Do they have any? Well, now it would be Charles, right? King Chuck.
Yes.
You guys ready for that?
Well, he's like, what, 73? Well,
yeah, right.
How long is he going to last?
Yeah, and then it'll be, what, William?
Yes. He didn't live as clean of a life as the queen. He was like, he was emailing Camilla, telling her he wanted to be her tampon and shit. So he was into all types of foul shit. So God knows how long he's got left.
Yeah, he was drinking and smoking and fornicating. Oh, and at least the queen won't live long enough to see her son committed of sex crimes. Everyone forgets about Prince Andrew. He's on that plane. A lot.
Yeah. None of that shit's going to fucking matter. If that was going to matter, that already mattered. But the only thing I think is funny is just people coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden who seem to think they're experts on anything to do with the queen. And I'm just like, I mean, this happens, and like I said, here in America, there's not really an exact one-to-one, but this happens when politicians die or former political talking heads, whatever the fuck. You always get the expert, the Wikipedia experts who, you know, Googled something for fucking 2 minutes, went down three fucking, went past the first three entries and said, I'm an expert on the subject now.
Hey, I'm American. We left them bastards behind 250 years ago.
I just think it's strange that there is this reverence for the whole, like,
I mean, the Crown was good.
Monarchy system.
It gave us the Crown. I watched the Crown. That was a good watch.
That's still going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
They actually
had to stop production because she died.
That's what I was saying. I heard something about, like, they're going to take a pause for a respectful period of time.
Well, too, I also believe they're filming that part of her life right now.
Well, then now they have an ending.
Because the last one I was watching, they were in the 80s. So, I mean, if they're already airing the 80s...
That's 40 years. That's four seasons if they take a fucking decade for season.
That's what I'm saying. If they're getting in the latter part of her life, then, okay, well, we have an ending. Now we have to write it.
But, yeah. Just outside of just the bickering back and forth, because apparently certain parts, certain people of certain factions in Ireland... I will go ahead and say aren't real big fans of hers. excuse me. And then, of course, the usual, Twitter people sniping from the sidelines, you know.
Oh, the usual suspects came out, the whole colonialism, blah, blah, blah. Blah. Okay.
Which she oversaw the
dissolution of, yeah.
But sure, yeah, okay. Yeah, and it was, I mean, like, it's just the standard bullshit. It's the standard people who have no right... I mean, they have every right to say whatever the fuck they want. I got every right to call them a fucking idiot for doing so. But they have no intellectual solid ground to speak on the shit they're speaking on. And they're coming out and saying all this bullshit. And, like, one of the things, that, like, it was some African-American studies professor, some university, podcast of the Lotus Eaters. They covered this story in an umbrella covering the queen's death in reaction to it. Anyways, this professor come out and she was like, you know, oh, the queen has done this and oversaw a system that profited and off the backs of my people and blah blah blah. And they're like, your people, what? Like a very good point was brought up, which I just think that, dude, bro, that's distracting me. That's so loud, my fucking headset. And all I'm hearing is fucking the Sex Pistols, which kind of brings up a good point here, which is, like, she is trying to force her politics into the situation with the queen. And it's like, would you have been saying this a day ago before she died? So it's really not about the queen. And I mean, this was just an overall that they were pointing out. It's really not at all about the queen or the person who died. It's more about how they can fucking to use the nomenclature of our times. Signal boost their own bullshit and virtue signal themselves into more internet clout via Twitter or whatever their chosen form of social media is. And there's an attitude that comes with this type of shit. And it's like Jennifer Lawrence, Hollywood actress, comes from, I'm guessing, what we call flyover country.
Kentucky.
Okay, there you go. So, her family... probably got a lot of Trump supporters. Probably got a lot of Republicans in it. A
little bit.
So, you know, she comes out with, what was it, last week? Her family was, it was pictures posted online of a family get together, and someone was wearing a thin blue line shirt, and someone was wearing a MAGA or Make America Great Again hat. How dare you? And blah blah blah. So she comes out with, I just can't fuck with people who aren't political. And talking about her family, she's like, I try to tell them what's what, but they live in their own bubble. They don't even get the same information that I get. And I'm like, is it possible that both of you are just getting bullshit information? Has that ever crossed your mind? Of course not. It's never crossed your mind that you're wrong.
But she's from Hollywood.
But once again, it's this attitude of politics comes before everything. Oh, some person who is a tax sponge over in fucking the United Kingdom died. Now I'm going to make it about me. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Like my family has political views that some person online who I've never met, who I'll never have to fucking look in the eyes face to face, has an opinion about my family. I'm going to fucking publicly disown my family. Get the fuck out of here.
Or let's strip all the window dressing away. Someone has a differing opinion from me.
It's ridiculous.
Is this the chickens coming home to roost of 30 years of the self-esteem movement?
Well, dude,
everyone has to agree with me.
We covered this 5 years ago. The fucking the spearheads, the biggest proponents, the biggest people who push for the fucking self-esteem movement came out 5 years ago and said, yeah, sorry, we kind of fucked up. It's a massive failure. And we're all sitting here going, really? Well, we're glad you know now. Once again, this is like when Neil Patrick Harris was like, I'm gay, everybody. We were like, we're glad you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or better than that, when Clay Aiken came out, we were all like, yeah, we know. Every time you exhaled, it smelled like dick, dude. We know, okay? You love the cock. You're insatiable. We got it, all right?
See, now, I said that to somebody, and I was met with the whole, like, well, I'm glad you were, how did they turn it around on me? Something like, well, I'm glad you know his journey, and we're ready for that. Like, and I was trying to, they tried to turn it around on me and be, oh, glad. Do you guys get my point?
Yes.
Yes.
You're born that way, but don't you dare point out the kid who's 5 years old, who's walking around switching and twitching like a bundle of sticks. Okay, and playing hopscotch and has no interest in anything fucking remotely sports or competition. That kid's pre-gay. That kid's got a lot of balls on his chin in his future. But you can't say that, even though, well, gay people are born that way. They can't help it.
It was kind of like, how dare you? He wasn't ready to accept it yet. He has to do it on his terms, was kind of like the attitude I got. But I'm sitting there going like, but isn't that the attitude you want from people like me? Like, dude, we know. It's cool. We knew before you knew.
Yeah, well, you're dealing with people who they just want to fucking argue just to argue. They have none of it's good. This is why the older I get and the more of a serious conversation I'm having, the more snarky and sarcastic comments end the conversation and pretty much depending on how stupid and low-hanging fruit you go could end the friendship, because I just don't have time for it, dude. Like, because it's not original. It's just bullshit. It's just, that's someone who wants to put you in a situation that's a got you situation. They want to put you in a situation where there's no way you could fucking reason or use logic to get you out of that situation and then go, now what? Meanwhile, if you just go, look at all these bullshit straw man arguments and situations you're pulling out of your ass.
Like, have we talked about this before? Isn't the goal supposed to be indifference? Yeah, I'm gay. Yeah, and?
Good.
Yeah. Isn't that what we're shooting for?
No, it's not anymore. And it hasn't been for fucking years, and it's been mask off for years now. If you don't know this by now, that's your fault. You're not paying attention. Welcome to the fucking world.
Like, I even got no problem with trans people. I feel like I've come across different on the show. It's just the people that just beat it in your face. Well, poor choice of words there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be like, yeah, man, I'm a trans, like, if it was just like that and the conversation was there, yeah, and?
Follow the science. This is all I've heard from trans advocates, people who are trans, for a decade now. Follow the science. It's the first place I really started hearing that as a battle cry was in the trans rights movement, right?
Wait, hold on. How? What? Follow the science in the trans movement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm talking like 2012. Yeah. That's the type of shit I would hear. And the thing is because it's gender dysphoria. It's a psychological medical condition. Blah 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 blah. Transitioning is a treatment for it. It is that's how I it was. Okay, you go to therapy, then you try what is it like the hormone therapy. You know, you try talk therapy, then hormone therapy. There used to be a fucking, you know what I'm saying, like a roadmap laid out, and that's the shit I was hearing. And then all of a sudden, it's like study, you know, not studies, but like around 2020, around this time of the census, all these, you know, because every 10 years every polling study place has to cash in on the fact that it's been 10 years since they've done one, so they do another one, and it's like, what was it? 36 something percent, like in the 30s% of high school students in 2020 identified as some form of trans or non-binary. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, Mar had it in
fuck
his,
off.
Didn't Mar have it in his monologue? He's like, it was 5% in the 60s. It was,
dude, it was never over 1%. It's never been over 1% as far as trans.
He said it was 10% in the 90s and 2000s. He said it's 30% now. He said, so by 2050, we'll all be gay.
And so by the way, the fall, you know, the whole fall of the science shit like that, when it really started getting beaten to the ground and the people that were bullshitting and come in and were using it, that's when a lot of people who, because being a musician, you rub elbows with all types of people. Trust me, you rub elbows with all types of people.
Is that what we're calling it?
And I mean, yeah, it's like I had known trans women, trans men before 2012, yeah. And they're like, you know, I even know a few who are still have completely trans and lived as their new trans, who they transitioned to for over a decade now that I think about it. And you know what they say? I hate these motherfuckers because everybody hates me because of these dumb fucks. And these are not, they don't even call them transsexuals or transgenders. They call them trendgenders or trendsexuals.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, being in a band, I've seen a dude in a dress before. And not like Kurt Cobain, like, hey, I'm, you know, call me Valerie now. I used to be Vince.
Yes, exactly.
Dude in a dress.
And that's what I'm saying. So, once again, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's a bunch of people looking for attention who went on, who found the people who are actually trans, who actually have issues, if you've ever dealt with anyone who sees themselves not as they are, but as they see themselves in their head. I have a friend. Well, he was a friend. He thinks he's 300 pounds no matter what he weighs. And, like, dude had a massive, like horrible drug addiction, was down to, like, 150. And on his frame, he looked like a fucking concentration camp survivor. And he's sitting there literally looking like some actor starving himself for a fucking role to get an award, talking about I'm fat, because he could literally pinch a little skin between his fingers on his torso. And I'm like, bro, you're 5'10", you're 150 pounds, and it's skin and bones. It's not even muscle. Yeah. It's not like you're 150 pounds like Bruce Lee was 150 pounds. You're 150 pounds like a motherfucker who smokes rock all day, because that's what you do all day. And he's like, I'm fat. To this day, he thinks he's fat. He sees himself as fat no matter how skinny he is.
You're fat for a meth head.
So when you see that type of person, you realize that that is a real fucking condition. And no matter what you do, no matter how much you fucking fist fuck them in the ass with reality, they will not fucking believe it. You go, okay, that's a real condition. And according to the science that we're supposed to follow, that's like, what, sub 1% of the population? Not in 2020 America. It was like, what, like I said, like what, 34, 36%? Get the fuck out of here. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That's most people's problem with it. The straw man argument is you want to erase trans existence. No. I don't know anyone who walks around advocating for the murder or genocide of trans people. I've never heard it. Like, I'm sure it's been said, but even in a joking manner, it's never been said. And my friends joke about everything. We joke about killing babies.
Because fuck them.
Fuck them
bastards.
Kids. Fuck them
All
kids.
All they do is eat. All they do, they're a liability. They're not a fucking goddamn asset.
Worst The worst sexually transmitted disease is children.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, like, it ain't, like, it's not even a matter of the people that I talk to won't joke about this shit. It's just no one even thought to because you're not on anyone's radar. And I think that's the problem for some of these people. And by the way, I don't even think these people, the people that it's a problem for, I don't even think are people who are really legitimately trans. I truly don't. I just think it's another new thing to hitch your wagon to.
Something to raise a fuss about.
Well,
something to bang the pots and pans over.
Jess, you're on TikTok, right?
You're
a TikToker for better or for worse, right?
And a tickety talker.
I mean, how much bullshit is on there that is directed at kids that do you think parents have no idea what their kids are even watching? I'm not saying I'm just saying the average parent.
I know that it's out there, but it's like I've said before, TikTok's algorithm is amazing. I see nothing I don't want to see at this point. There is no skipping any videos. They know me. They know me better than I know myself. So I don't see stuff like that because my algorithm is perfection because they spy on me and I know they spy on me and I let them because my algorithm is perfect. But I've seen a lot of things that like my friends have posted who have gotten on there and, you know, seen what their kids are seeing and, you know, kids who don't necessarily look up the same thing over and over again, you know?
Well, yeah. And I mean, just the amount of bullshit that is directed on there, like towards kids that, I mean, like case in point, there was a few articles I read about dissociative identity disorder is seeing a spike in people claiming to have it. I don't know if they've been fucking officially diagnosed with it. In most cases, in the articles I read, it sounds like they haven't been officially diagnosed with it. And what it is apparently during the fucking, the lockdown during the COVID nonsense, you know, when everybody was locked up and everybody was using all these different apps and shit, this happened to be the big trending thing on Twitter is people talking about DID, dissociative identity disorder. And so you have all these people on Twitter on TikTok banding together and claiming that the trauma they experienced from COVID gave them DID.
Man, these little fuckers love attention, don't they?
And like, there's entire, TikTok influencers whose personalities and channel is built around literally acting out their different personalities while filming themselves. And I'm not talking like,
that's a disorder.
I'm not talking like somebody's filming you 24/7 and they post the fucking highlights. And you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not talking like a documentary bird's eye view. I'm talking about someone holding a phone going, here's my first personality. Hi, I'm Julie.
That's called acting.
Here's my second personality. Hi, I'm Philip. You know, and it's like, no, you're fucking mental is what the fuck you are. You did not get enough attention as a child.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is what happens with parents who don't pay attention and leave their children alone and let complete strangers on the internet raise your kids. This is the type of shit that kids who want attention and crave attention will fucking seek out and be a part of.
Yeah, because on the internet, I mean, we learned this with message boards a long time ago. You could find your group that will, like, they can seek out the group of people that's going to give them all the attention they want. You know, they just find their little digital tribe. Like, they're right now.
I don't know.
No, go ahead, Jess.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if it's something I've said on here before or not, or if it's just something that I bitch about in my day-to-day life. But it's like people just develop this huge identity around being a victim. And whenever you take that victimhood away from it, like, you know, you have someone who's trans and they're 20 years ago, people looked at them crazy. And why are you dressing up like a chick? You're a dude. That's fucking ridiculous. And now that's been taken away. You can't talk about the bullying or the trauma that you have from trying to express your truest self because everyone accepts it. Everyone's like, okay, cool. So it's like they're looking for the next thing and how they can make themselves a victim to feed that for themselves. To feed that sort of like personality trait of just being the victim. Does that make sense at all?
There is a new trend right now where there's girls filming themselves crying, saying they're in pain because they're, their doctor wouldn't give them, didn't believe them or wouldn't give them the pain medication they wanted. So that's a thing right now. Teenage girls like writhing on TikTok and crying in pain.
Meanwhile, I had a tooth break off at the gum line. Have to be taken out in multiple fucking chunks. Surgically removed from my fucking skull. And the dentist at the end of it is like, yeah, here's some fucking, not Tylenol 3s, here's some fucking Tylenol, over-the-counter Tylenol. And I'm like, man, my wife come in here and got veneers and you guys gave her fucking Vicks. And he's like, big tough guy like you, you can't handle a little fucking tooth procedure. I'm like,
wife got huge cans.
Yeah, I know. That's what, yeah. It basically was like, you know, hey, I just think it's funny. Like, hey, I didn't get my drugs. Yeah, bitch. Welcome to my fucking life. Oh, you're a big tough guy. And it's like, what am I going to say? No, I'm half a bundle of sticks. I'm fucking sensitive. I'm a sensitive one over here. I need fucking my drugs. Oh, now I look like a junkie. Yeah, that's a good precedent to set with your doctor. So
listen, doc, I need the hard shit.
Look, here's the deal. Fuck these kids, okay? Dude, I had a fucking doctor to prove a point because I got into a fight. And in during this fight, the dude I was fighting thought ducking into a classroom and shutting a door with a huge glass window between us was going to stop me. And it didn't. So I went, like, I kind of punched him through the glass and I split my hand open. So fast forward about an hour and a half later, I'm sitting in my doctor, you know, doctor's office, and he's like, I got to sew you up, blah, blah, blah. And he's like talking all this shit. And I'm just like, I'm a teenage kid. I'm not wanting to hear it. I'm like, fuck you, doc. I don't give a fuck. Shut. Oh, really? I just won't numb you up. Go ahead. I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. And he's like, you hardhead looking. I mean, I was like, 14. So, I mean, like, it was old enough where I was like, I was like, fuck you, dude. I don't give a fuck who you are.
Pick up the gun.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit. Anyways, no idea where I was going with that. I know what you said. Because the begging for being online talking about I'm in pain and my doctor wouldn't give me
his
medication.
His code says he had to numb you, right? The Hippocratic Oath, he numbed you, right?
I don't know. I've literally been sewn up at a ER where I swear to God, they held the needle like an inch over the cut and just hit the plunger and sprayed it. And we're like, you're good. And I'm like, I better not be a full dose on the bill.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. That's all I care about. It might also be part of the problem. I announced I don't have insurance in the ER, and it's like, yeah, you kind of get the cut rate. Like, yes, treat them and street them. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
But anyways. That is like part of the shit I'm talking about. Like these bullshit fucking everything's a challenge these days. Like, and it's and they're just fucking TikTok or social media trends, whatever the fuck. But I mean, it's like the amount of recruiting is that, I mean, I don't know if I go so far as to call it that I see, like, the very limited amount I dip my toe into the TikTok waters, I'm just like, no wonder motherfuckers are getting radicalized at fucking record fucking paces these days. Dude, you literally can sit for hours and just fucking just watch videos just doing nothing but just telling you everything that you've already, like, confirmation bias like a motherfucker. You're never being challenged. Your intellectual curiosity is never fucking
the algorithm just gives
challenged.
You more of what you like.
I don't want to live like I'm Amish or something and, like, you know, brave the outside and not have creature comforts of modern life. But goddamn, dude, that much fucking, like, gratification that instantly, we're not built to handle that
shit. You know, right now in the United States, 2 out of every 3 teenagers is on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard all the horror stories. I've seen all the fucking mini documentaries and documentaries. I've heard all the interviews. I've heard the terms of service read on Rogan and about 3 other podcasts. I'm well aware and versed in the bullshit that surrounds TikTok. But because I'm not a user, I never really understood it until I started really digging into it and was like, oh, I get it now. This shit is...
It's Vine, but longer.
This shit is, well, no, it's not. No, I understood that right off the bat. That's why I, that's probably, you know what? That's why I didn't get in TikTok. I'm like, you killed Vine just to bring it back and rename it. That's it. Like you said, it's Vine, but longer.
It's 30 seconds instead of what was Vine? 10 seconds?
I guess. But I mean, it's, I was like, fuck that. That's stupid. Why the fuck? Why'd we get rid of Vine? I had guys I liked on Vine that were funny. Shit, I'm trying to remember just one dude's name.
Now, well, fucking hilarious. Guess what? Now they're on TikTok.
No. No. They're not. I looked. Shit, I can't remember one.
Chinese government keeping them down?
At least they weren't when I looked, but that was like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. But, like, I it's starting to make sense. And, I mean, think about this. Now, this is just, this is an online world, okay? And people are going to it, like, via TikTok or social media, and they get stuck in these loops and these echo chambers and are just, you know, everything you fucking think and everything you fucking, you know, feel is valid and blah 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 blah. Oh, by the way, as long as you don't break away from the core ideological beliefs, we can pretty much work with any other bullshit you bring in, all right? Just like any other good cult. but I mean, just I'm starting to understand. And then you see shit like, you think about someone like, look at Jennifer Lawrence and think about, she's in Hollywood, she's rich. A lot of people consider her just drop dead gorgeous. I mean, she's not ugly, but
I'm not saying no.
Dude, if she made me have more conversation than I wanted to just to say hi, I would be like, bitch, you just ain't worth it. I just not my thing. And I'm 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. I got no right to have fucking standards, yet I do. So whatever. But I can completely understand why she gets stuck in the bullshit mindset she's in. The problem is that these mindsets, they're in Hollywood. They can go back to their fucking artificially social constructed world of Hollywood and go back to living in that bubble and be perfectly fine. The average person, and let's be honest, who's going to take their fucking cues from celebrities and musicians and sports people? Most likely it's going to be younger people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that fucking luxury. They don't have that option. They live in fucking flyover country, Kentucky. So they're going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this type of shit. Like, how did we go from 25 years ago, sports athletes, or sports athletes, that's redundant, but athletes, musicians, actors, like a lot of them. It seemed like the standard was, we're not role models. We're just normal, everyday people doing a fucking job. Two, now you got to listen to everything you fucking say.
We are now the arbiters of society.
That's one of those generational shifts. That's like Gen X. I don't think you could have succeeded in marketing towards Gen X, trying to tell Gen X what the fuck to think and say and do. I don't know if millennials, like, I'm going to speak ill of your generation like I always do, Jess, but like, y'all seem like if we give you too much space, y'all get fucking scared.
Because we'd say things like, who gives a fuck what the person who starred in the Hunger Games thinks voting for president? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that, but I don't know if you heard me, but like I said, I don't know if that's, and if you did, if you agree or not, that's an apt description, but that's what it seems like. It seems like we got two whole generations now who've been conditioned and raised through public, you know, public education and just pop culture in and of itself, outside its America type shit, to where they just like wait for to be told what the fuck to do.
No, that's a very accurate description of my generation. Like even in my age group, even, you know, I tend to not claim the millennial title, but yeah, that is something I've noticed for sure. They don't know what to do.
Well, and you know, I see these snarky comments and stuff like this is one that I've been seeing passed around in various forums for about a week or two online. It's a screenshot of somebody sharing a study that said average millennial parents are not as handy with do-it-yourself, you know, at-home projects as the baby boomer generation was. Once again, just erasing Gen X. Like we just don't matter.
Hey,
once again,
how's it going?
Mask off moment constantly. No one cares. But then someone had replied, well, at least I am emotionally capable of telling my children I love them without beating the shit out of them. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Are we to this point now? Are we sitting here? Are we letting millennials look at us dead in the face and act like the baby boomers are their parents? Because baby boomers were never known as a generation who were not in touch with their fucking feelings. It was the opposite. Scream therapy.
Yeah.
The self-esteem movement. The me generation.
Yeah.
They went from hippies to yuppies between the 60s and 80s. This is a generation who was all about themselves to the point where their head was up their own ass. They loved their children because their children were little extensions of them. Admire me. Admire my clone. Look at my little clone. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? He's an extension of me. So if you love him or her, by extension, you love me. This is absolute bullshit, dude. And I'm like, I'm tired of fucking going along with other people's bullshit lies because it's easier for them. Why the fuck does my life have to be hard and I have to lie to myself and be intellectually dishonest with myself so your fucking bullshit's easier for you?
Yeah, so your story is true that you're writing.
I mean, it's like that screenshot I sent you of, you know, the person was like, so I'm talking to my nephew and he's like, I threw some vanilla ice cream in this Coke. It's awesome. I invented it. And he's like, you didn't? Motherfucker, it's a vanilla float.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what else millennials are trying to act like they invented? Phoning it in, but they're calling it quiet quitting.
Yeah, I know.
Bro, yeah, you did not invent phoning it. Phoning it in is a tradition as old as time.
Oh, Christ. It's just, yeah. The narcissism levels are off the fucking charts. But at the same time, it's like, what are you narcissistic and high maintenance for? What do you bring to the table to rationalize and justify any of this? And it's like, I just average. Fuck, the average person can't answer that question.
Right. Not sure I'm equipped to answer that question.
I mean, dude, I was honest. I was like, when COVID popped off and everyone was like, what if it goes all Mad Max? I'm like, leave me a rifle and one box of shells and I'll make sure that I take out as many as I can before I take myself out. I'm not going to fucking last long and I'm going to be a liability for everybody. So let me cover your six while you run away. Okay? I got that. Man's got to know his limitations.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
But, okay, so, and once again, I'm gonna pick your brain, Jess. I just have to know because I can tell, I can speak as a younger. I can't believe we're to this point, but we want to erase Gen X, but we're gonna split them up. Now we have older Gen X and younger Gen X, and the line of the line where the dividing line is: do you listen to hair metal or do you listen to grunge?
Oh no,
that's your dividing line. So I apparently fall squarely in the younger Gen X crowd, and like, yeah, you know, like I for us it was just like anyone would see me and I had long hair and they'd be like, oh, so you listen to like Poison and Warrant? And I'm like,
that shit is terrible.
No. Like, and I want to kick your ass for asking me if I listen to those bands. Like, do you listen to those bands? Why are you talking to me if you do? Like, but like that's all the animosity I felt, and it really wasn't like for real animosity. It's more like just music, you know, snob, nerdy shit, back and forth. But there seems like there is a real animosity brewing in the older millennials and the younger millennials, because. And you expressed it perfectly. One, you don't even want to identify with your own fucking age group, first of all. Which as your age group would say, that's kind of problematic. And number two, like if you're not identifying with your own age group, because I mean, generations is just a way to basically say people between this age and this age all experience the same things around the same age, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that shaped them. That's really all it is. What do you identify with? Like, do you identify with any fucking generation at all? Or do you look at any generation and go, that one makes more sense than ones we have now?
So I'll be honest with you. Until millennials became like a thing, until we were really talking about millennials and all of the millennial shortcomings, whenever back in the day when I used to make fun of millennials and stupid millennial, what a stupid age group, and then realized I was in it and was like, fuck. The only generation I ever heard about, I didn't even know, kind of to y'all's point, I didn't even know Gen X existed. But I heard people talk about boomers, and, you know, the OK Boomer was a little funny. And I didn't give it a whole lot of thought. But the thing is most of the people around me and most of the people in, like, my age group, like, the people I went to high school with, the people I went to college with, none of us gave a shit, really, about, like, our groupings by generation. This kind of feels like a new-ish thing, and maybe it's just new because I have an established generation now, you know?
And now, I remember when we were teenagers, the big devil was the greatest generation. Those were the fucking older, out-of-touch fuckers.
But see, I never said, it was in no means the open contempt.
Oh, no.
Hostility towards them that there's been for the baby boomers. I mean, that shit started before the greatest generation died off. they were joining in on the hate. They were like, hey, yeah, our kids kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn. That's your parents, bro.
Right.
That's your mom, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so for clarification, the Greatest Generation is different than the boomers.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
See, this is
way to go, school. Good job, public education system.
This is why on the old show, I butted heads with an old co-host. Because I was like, he was just looking at it from the sense of, old people getting made fun of by young people who I want to be accepted by. Cool. And I'm like, no, idiot. It's going to turn into everybody under the age of us is going to think that everybody older than them is a baby boomer. So we're going to have even more ignorant sounding people walking around. Mm. And what has happened?
Yeah.
Everybody older than them is a baby boomer. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to millennials still under 30, anyone 30 and over is a baby boomer. I hate your generation, Jess. I really do. Like, it's because it's willful ignorance. It is choosing to be obtuse. I cannot stand it. There's no excuse for it either. Like, if I meet someone and they're just dumb, I'm like, okay, they can't help that. But y'all ain't all this dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Dumb on purpose is a sin.
Oh God. Anyways. Yeah, I just I'm not shocked that you thought boomers and of course I had no idea who Gen X was. That's what I find funny. Like if I'm online and I goof on anything and I say anything about fucking millennials, the first thing that happens is every millennial who's in my friends list who says that they don't care about being called a millennial starts attacking me personally for using the term millennial, which kind of is like, yeah, I think.
You know what you tell them? Okay, boomer.
You do protest too much, you know. But it's like you know, the preacher's like, I hate gay people. Guess who's sucking cock?
Oh, in the rectory. Tonight.
He shits out pure cum. Like, it's not even fucking diluted with stomach fucking acid. It's just
jerked off an altar boy.
Like, in five minutes ago.
Possibly 10 minutes ago, yeah.
Like, it's still, like, it's crusting on his hands.
His hand's still warm. Yeah.
I forgot where we're going. We went in down the road of Catholic fucking molestation. Jesus Christ. I forgot. That completely threw me for a loop.
We were shitting on millennials.
You were talking about how I didn't even recognize Gen X as a generation.
Oh, yes, yes. I think it's hilarious that, like, all my friends who are millennials fall squarely in the millennial fucking age range and claim to not care, and millennials dumb. Anytime anyone uses the term in anything that's even could be assumed to be a negative way, here they come to save the day. They're just dumbasses on the internet. And they just bust into the sucking situation. Who hurt you? Okay, boomer. And I'm just like, God.
Dude, everyone's got to be a fucking hero.
Like, it's just.
I don't understand it.
And who hurt you? We're going back to, like, you understand that, like that type of sarcastic quip came to prominence and enjoyed the most fucking exposure around the time of Good Will Hunting, because there was a line in there. Do you find it hard to hide the fact you're gay? So posing a question where yes or no paints you in a bad light became the thing to do 25 fucking years ago. And I'm listening to a grown person say the shit like they think they invented it online. Like, so, yeah. And I'm just like, for a bunch of people who don't care about being millennials, who feel that means nothing to them, y'all get really upset. And the first thing they do is, instead of fucking addressing the fact that I can sit here and rip baby boomers and the Greatest Generation and Gen X and Zoomers and every other fucking generation and never hear word one from these people, the minute I say the M word, here they come. They're like, well, you're Gen X. Whole world's been fucking aimed at you and fucking and built for you your entire life. And I'm just going, oh my God, what little you know about my generation is completely wrong. Who the fuck do you
Would
think
you like
we
to
are
hear about our internetless childhoods, for starters?
Like, we're the generation,
Dick
we
face.
Are the latchkey kids, meaning yeah. that we were single digit age handed keys to our house, coming home alone and staying there for 4, 5, 6 hours. no fucking Wi-Fi, no fucking emergency button to push, no fucking cell phones, no nothing.
11, but I think about 11 or 12, it finally started being getting left home. Run rule, don't use a stove. Anything you want to eat?
I was getting left alone at
eight.
Use
a microwave.
My mom would just fucking leave when I was eight.
Well, but yeah, see, they go still, like, someone would call the authorities on your mother now.
I was nine riding my bike a mile to the comic book store at least four times a week. And
CPS would be at your house.
Dude, I said something to a buddy of mine about letting his kid fucking ride their bike the, like, four blocks from his house to a comic book store or baseball card store or whatever. Whatever, like, collectible store the kid wanted to go to. And he's like, no, I got to drive him. I'm like, dude, it's four blocks. It's literally three blocks and then one block on a fucking semi-main road. He's never on a sidewalk that's next to a street whose speed limit goes over 30. Seriously, dude, let him go. Like, this is...
My sister and I walked 1 mile to and from school. With no adult supervision.
So I'm 45. You're what, 43?
Yep.
Okay. So someone who's 40 doesn't have these experiences. Like, I find that hard to believe. What the fuck happened in the 3 years between you being 40? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened between 40 and 43 for people that age to where at 43, you could fucking walk a mile to school. You could ride a bike a mile or two down the fucking road by yourself after school. Or with your buddies, no problem.
Well, then maybe
you can't even play in your front yard.
Maybe I should have this qualifier. I had parents who grew up in the city, so that they had, you know, my dad was my dad was the youngest of six, and if you look at the age difference, my dad had
phone rang at the wrong time.
Broke
somebody's concentration on the pullout method.
Yeah, but he's like the first year, like he was an elder boomer. He was like the first year, but. This motherfucker was talking about being 4 years old cooking eggs on the stove.
Yeah.
I read a story a couple years ago about a family who lived in a house that backed up to like a public park. But the way that it was described is from the kitchen, there was a window like over the sink and you could see the park. You could see the playground at the park. And she would let her kids walk to it. And the youngest kid was 4 and the oldest kid was 10. And she'd let her kids walk to the park. There was no roads or anything in between it. And, play while she was capable of looking out the window and seeing them at the park. And her kids got taken away from her by CPS for neglect.
Wait, what? Essentially going in their backyard?
Yes, because they were at the park without adult supervision.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. Your mom would be in jail for hate crimes, Rich.
Oh, God. They'd have executed my mother if she was trying to raise me these days. Like, the shit my mother pulled? Like, no. No, she'd be under the jail somewhere. Like, there's no way. Nowadays, yeah, that shit don't fly. You can't take a plugged-in curling iron and beat a kid and send him to school 15 minutes later. Like covered in fucking blisters, looking like Freddy Krueger's younger, fucking fatter, fucking nephew. Like you can't do that.
Oh, their teacher'd be pulling you aside, like
absolutely. And I knew better because I'd been in the fucking state homes when the state steps in and takes you away from your parents because they throw you in the deepest, darkest, shittiest state home they can find. And after getting my ass beat and fighting every fucking night for about 3-4 hours during the 8 hours we're supposed to be sleeping, I learned on CPS how'd that happen. I fell. Better get my ass beat in some fucking shitty state home in Detroit. I mean, that's just what it was. So, yeah.
It's like a bad episode of Cops.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like
Cops, Kids Edition.
This is why it's like I never wanted to be a parent because, like, I'll call CPS. Here's the phone. I already dialed it. I fucking hit send. It's ringing.
I got a backpack for you.
Yep. Enjoy getting beat, molested, and fucking starved in whatever shithole they stick you in. And by the way, I ain't coming to get you. You're staying for fucking 3 months. You're going to learn today, bitch. Today. You're going to learn. You're going to learn. And you know what? That's my attitude. And dude, I ain't changed. That's my attitude about a lot of shit. I'm a 5 foot, 200 pound girl and I want to play football in college.
Cool. Oh,
okay.
Nose
Let
tackle.
That bitch out there.
Nose tackle.
And when the bitch is laying there dead on the fucking field, I'm going to be like Patrice O'Neal said, I want them to do an Indian hump dance over her dead body, take her fucking socks, tie them to their helmet.
Get her socks.
Find her fucking mother, make eye contact in the stands, be like, that's what you get, bitch, for letting your little bitch of a kid out here with killers, lady. We're killers out here. We're killers taking socks. That's what the fuck we do.
Oh.
I'm for stupidity for my entertainment.
Aren't you playing nose tackle for the Buffalo Bills?
Absolutely. As long as it's not for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because that's my team. You know what I'm saying? Now, bitch, if you can kick, hey, you know what? Sure. We get a place kicker. We can
I want you going toe-to-toe with Aaron Donald. Let's go, bitch. Equality. You're going to learn real quick there's no equality when it comes to fucking physics.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You're going to learn about inertia, force.
All right. Well, Queen died. I got a little bit of a peek behind the Hollywood curtain with the Jennifer Lawrence thing. Like I said, to me, it just shows that, like, how the madness of these people, because this bitch, does she really think that when Hollywood's done with her, when she's hit the wall, so that's like, what, 40? I mean, I'm just being honest here.
She's like 30. No, I think she's like 28 or something. I think she's still relatively young.
But what I'm saying is, does she really think that she's going to be like 50, 60 years old, and all these fucking yes people and people that she pays to hover around her in Hollywood right now are going to be loyal to her and take care of her and tell her how beautiful and right she is about every single fucking fleeting thought that enters her fucking empty vessel of a head? No, of course not. No. And then she shows up and she's like, hi, family that I sold out 25, 30 years ago. So for internet clout. And you know what? I kind of hope they say, you know what? Fuck you, bitch. Take your ass back to Hollywood and fucking rot out there with them fucking people. That's your family now, right, bitch? Mm. What you need us for? We're hateful fucking white supremacists, aren't we? You don't want to be around us.
Yeah.
Bye, bitch. But that'll never happen. That just doesn't happen.
And again, she's bitching about what she gets paid per movie. Like, I get paid less because I have a vagina. And I'm saying the same thing I said 5 fucking years ago, or whatever it was, when she was bitching about whatever the movie where she won the Oscar. Get a better agent. Your agent apparently doesn't know your worth in the marketplace. And also, you've been starring in movies with people bigger than you. At least the first time she bitched, she was nobody. And everyone else in that movie was somebody. But now I'm like, we get a better agent. You want an Oscar? You've been in several top grossing movies. Tell your agent, bitch, get me paid or you're fired.
Well, not only that, but if you're not getting an offer that you feel you're worth.
Say no.
Yes. You're Jennifer Lawrence. I can't imagine she's like having to audition for Hallmark fucking movie of the weeks.
Yeah, and I can't imagine there's a shortage of scripts coming her way.
That's
either.
What I'm saying. She's not fucking out there reading for fucking extra in background 5 for I'll Be Home for Christmas on the Hallmark channel.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know this. I can already hear people. I'm minimizing it. I'm being dismissive. This ain't 1919. You can definitely make as much or more than your male co-stars, get better negotiators.
Well, there's also, you can also do what other actresses have done, actresses and actors actually, but you know, whatever. They're not going to talk about the people with penises who do this.
Which, dude, by the way, that reminds me, you know what I saw the other day reading an article? No more men, people with penises. I saw.
No.
Yes. Sure. I saw it worded as people with penises.
They're going to have to lock me up for wrong thing because I ain't saying
it. It was
that.
A doctor trying to describe. It was some men's health article or something, but the term people with penises was used the entire time.
People who own penises.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're a fan of the franchise, if you've been alive for the last 3 decades, I'm sure you've heard of the Scream franchise. Well, Neve Campbell's been in every single fucking Scream movie. She is. It's kind of like Sigourney Weaver in the Aliens franchise up until they got rid of Sigourney Weaver. And we see how well the Aliens franchise has done since then. So why do I bring this up? Because Neve Campbell, being the driving force behind the Scream franchise, came back for the last Scream. which wasn't done by the original people because Wes Craven, the original director, he died.
I think he dead.
Yeah, a few years beforehand, et cetera, et cetera. But she came back, and it was during COVID when they filmed it. And the studio, of course, used that as an excuse to cut everybody's paycheck and say, well, you know, we have to make this on the cheap, and we're trying to film this during COVID and blah, 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 blah. So she said, I took less than what I felt I should have for the fifth installment of a franchise that I'm the star of. But I did it because I thought that's what we were all doing. Now, I don't know if behind the scenes, since that movie has come out, if information's come to light. But long story short is they're making a sixth Scream movie, and she's refusing to have anything to do with it because she's like, they came to her and apparently were like offering her like sub $1 million for a starring or a co-starring role. And I'm like we're talking hundreds of thousands before taxes, before agents, before everything for a co-starring role in a tentpole studio movie. Like, that's a Halloween, that's a studio's Halloween release schedule right there, and for the year. And you're not going to even offer her like $1 million. Now, if those numbers are correct, I agree with what she was like. I'm not doing this. You're
good.
Pay me.
Good for her. Yeah, that's what you do.
I'm worth more than this. I can go do fucking commercials in fucking China and spend 2 days filming and make five times as fucking money, or, you know, whatever the fuck she gave, you know, whatever she had real examples. I'm pulling shit out my ass, but it's like, that's what you have to learn to do. And that's what I think kind of started like with our generation. There's a lot of people our age don't know how to fucking go in and negotiate. And the sad fact of it is you should probably never really negotiate for yourself directly with your boss, because that's just going to fucking cause hate and discontent.
It's funny. I had a friend tell me the other day, he's like, you know, one thing I wish our parents would have taught us, to not take the first fucking offer.
Exactly.
At any job.
That's what I'm saying. And when we were younger, see, I mean, Jess, I don't know if you've heard this, but when we were, shit, I would say, even in my, I was still hearing this in my mid-30s, they would say, you know, oh, our generation, the men are comfortable with negotiating what they feel they're worth at jobs. It's women who aren't comfortable doing it. And I'm like, I don't know anybody who negotiates. Everybody pretty much takes the first fucking offer that I know. Like, I've literally walked in, just hit a fucking grand slam in a job interview. The guy was basically unbuckling my pants to blow me on the way out the door. And he's like, the job pays this, and that's it. There's no fucking...
Oh, yeah. I had plenty. When I was job searching last year, I had a few, hey, we'd like to offer you this job. What do you do? Sorry. Well, I am a 40... I'm a 40-year-old man with 40-year-old bills. There's a number. You got to hit it. I can't... Sorry. Like, you know, that's how it goes.
But, I mean... The fact that we weren't taught how to do that, and I don't know, maybe the older Gen X, maybe the cock rock listening segment of Gen X were taught how to do that. But judging by my older sister and my friends who were part of that segment of our generation, no, they didn't know how to do it either. And the millennials and the zoomers damn sure aren't negotiating for what they're fucking worth.
Well, they kind of.
Shit, they're not even coming to the fucking door half the time when they fucking get their food delivered. They can't even fucking deal with a delivery.
Well, no, but they are in a sense, because right with the way the labor force has been the last few years, they just quit and go get another job. That's their negotiating power. This place is going to pay me more. Deuces.
Yeah, but that's like.
Right, but they don't even negotiate that. Exactly. They just leave. They just find somewhere that has a higher starting wage, and they're like, they don't even turn in a 2-week notice. They're like, all right, well, I'm out.
Bye. It's true. Yeah, they don't even give. Yeah, a lot of times they don't even give the company a chance to be like, we can match that.
I mean, because it's not just a matter of getting paid more. It's a matter of getting that real world experience of sitting there and negotiating and understanding that, you know, the ins and outs in the fucking to quote Trump, the art of the deal. I mean, there is a craft behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you go to business school, supposedly to learn the law and the ethics behind business. And then you actually learn how to be a business person when you enter the field, because that's when you learn the real shit, the craft behind fucking making things happen. And I mean, think about it. We now have 2.5 generations, one who is firmly in the driver's seat being millennials, as far as the attention of corporate America and politicians and the culture in this country, who don't know how to negotiate their own value, don't even know how to fucking calculate their own value. Think the first fucking offer is like the one they should take because they're scared of anything, you know, this would be the only offer I ever get.
We were taught in school how to negotiate our salary. That was a huge thing that I was taught in business school.
College or grade school?
Yeah. College.
Okay. I was going to say, in grade school? Yeah. Like, I was going to say, then you got real lucky. I've never even heard that in private school. College, I'm not so shocked because you did go for business, so I would expect that to be covered. Right. But, there was, you brought up something else. It was another subject we had on the itinerary, and it was kind of connected to this subject. You brought it up, you made a comment about it, now it slipped my mind. God damn it. All right, well, since I just shot my fucking spray-colored shit all over the
wow.
transition, that's horrible. What's the next subject?
Well, why don't we stay on the topic of wages and talk about Gavin Newsom and the law for low-wage workers?
Okay, now what the fuck exactly is the situation with this? I just want facts first, then we can get into opinions. What is the fucking facts of the situation?
Chris, you take this one. I read the article, but it was a fast read.
Stand by. I'm typing show notes. All right, let me get the article up here.
Well, I can try to race you for it.
All right, California passed a law for low-wage workers, fast food workers. It could increase wages to up to $22 an hour. It's called the Fast Food Accountability and Standards Recovery Act, or AB 257. He's saying it gives fast food workers a stronger voice and seat at the table to set fair wages and critical health and safety standards across the industry. It will create... Here is the rub on me with this whole... Like, this... Because I want to know who's going to be on this thing. It will create a 10-person council made up of business, labor, and government representatives to designate an industry-wide minimum wage, which could go as high as $22 per hour, with annual raises of either 3.5% or the rate of inflation. Which, I've always wondered, why aren't wages in general tied to the cost of living? But that's another conversation for another day. It may signal the reemergence of sectoral bargaining, a tactic in which workers from different companies in the same industry negotiate for pay together. And they already have a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Which, to me, feels like, in California, that's like having a $15 minimum wage in New York City. It's like, that's minimum... That is literally the minimum
I said I've always been mystified why minimum wage is just across the country, why the standard isn't tied to cost of living. Because, yeah, it would take a little more to work on minimum wage in San Francisco or New York versus, like,
I thought it was tied
Wichita.
To the cost, I thought it was tied to the cost of living. It was just they, of course, took the lowest number they could possibly take.
Oh, no, each state sets their own minimum wage.
Well, there's the federal minimum wage, and then the states can set it higher if they want, but they can't go below the federal.
No, but I'm saying the federal, I don't understand why it isn't just like the standard is, it is tied to the cost of living in your state.
No, that's like anything else, man.
You know, in Kansas, state politics, it's $9 an hour. In San Francisco, it's fucking $30 an hour.
That's just tied to, it's probably tied to state politics like everything else. It's just local bullshit, and... Yeah,
but I just think the comment I sent with this is like, you know, essentially it's like here come the kiosks and the flippies, right? Here comes there's going to be like two jobs left in the restaurant.
I mean, like, here's the deal, dude.
I think
I'm not the right person for this type of shit because you threaten me with something enough. Eventually, I'm just going to tell you to either do it or shut the fuck up about it because you're starting to bore me, and that's a bigger sin than whatever you're threatening me with.
I think something like this is going to push the industry quicker into that.
Then just do it and get it the fuck over with. I'm so sick of hearing about this. I really am. I am so sick of hearing about it. And believe me, it's just going to make my job easier. The less people I have to deal with, the more streamlined, because I do app delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Less people I got to deal with, less customers in a restaurant, the smoother my shit
goes.
Well,
it used to hit close to home to me. It used to be how I made my fucking, you know, made my nut, how I paid my bills.
But the thing that just pisses me off, and it's just because... this is just how I'm built, is don't sit here and fucking keep threatening me and, like, just people in general with,
well, you keep wanting to get paid a living wage. We're going to take your jobs from you.
Okay, well, then take the fucking jobs then. Just take them. Then make them automated then.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. My example is the auto industry in the United States. It took 2 decades, but it happened.
Good. And now we're not a manufacturing country. Now we're going to be a service industry, but we're not even going to have people to work the service industry? Sure. Yeah, this makes sense. That's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like, I'm just so fucking sick of the, like, you know, the only solution is the workers got to get fucking fucked. That's the only solution. And it's like, really? Really? Okay.
Dude, the way technology is going, workers are going to be phased out of a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You think AI is just for video games?
That's why a lot of the fucking talk about universal basic income and a lot of the talk in for the last 50 years in the not so so distant future science fiction has been about what are we going to do when people aren't needed for the day-to-day fucking heavy lifting shit. When one person can press a button and do the job that used to take 10 people, what do we do? I mean, and that's a question that at this point, it's like, okay, technology, we're not going to stop the ever onward fucking march of technology. We're not going to hit pause on that. So fuck it. Let's get it over with. Find out what the fuck we're going to do next. I'm just sick of being threatened with it. Either if you're going to shoot me, shoot me. But don't wave the gun in my face for fucking 15 years threatening me, because eventually I'm going to slap the gun out your fucking hand and fuck you with it. Like, so either do it and let's find out where the chips are going to fucking fall, or shut the fuck up and pay people until you can do it.
But right, it's not overnight, right? It started with the auto industry. It started in the 80s and it took till like 2000 to happen.
No, it happened a lot quicker than that. They started streamlining before Iacocca was out at fucking... out of the 80s at all. He really fucking, dude, they came in, the restructuring of the auto industry was amazing. It's like, I feel like it could be a movie in and of itself, but probably will be someday. But anyways, I'm not saying this in like, I dare you to, I'm saying it in just, I'm so fucking sick and tired of this. Everything has to fucking come down. Like, okay, this is going to happen. And it's going to be negative. Well, why is it going to happen? Because people want a better fucking standard of living. Well, what assholes they are. So, yeah, fuck that. Fuck them. Fuck their standard of living. That's the answer we come up with.
But that's not. But that's what you're hearing. That's not what it's costs. But you could think what it is all you want. It's costs.
You never have considered that we keep these things artificially fucking low cost. That they should cost more. Have you ever considered that? Or do you just look at it and go, it's the status quo, and I'm just interested in keeping the status quo going?
What are you saying? Like, what? I don't understand the question.
It's ridiculous to expect to go to McDonald's and get two fucking McDoubles for $3. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you should be paying fucking $4 or $5 for a fucking hamburger. Maybe that's the fucking maybe we are artificially keeping these prices low by paying people like this.
Well, then the higher wage doesn't mean anything. We're seeing it right now with inflation. Wages are up like 8%. But
so why
not
do
so you notice
who,
it?
Why do the people who have who gain the least have to give up the most to keep the status quo going? Explain this to me.
I don't get what you're saying, give up the most. Dude, technology's going to technology.
Yeah, they're going to take their fucking jobs. They're not going to have any jobs. Why? Because they wanted a living wage. How dare they? So they're punished? So now they have no way to fucking support themselves? Instead of corporations who are constantly making more profit every fucking quarter, making a little bit less profit because, hey, they're only obligated to make, okay?
The whole point.
Then you are setting the standard that it's a cutthroat industry, and profit at any cost means that the workers need to extract as much money from the corporations at any cost. So never argue about ethics and never argue about what the workers do to fuck over management.
I'm not talking about ethics. The point of owning a business is it has to be worth more than it was when you started it. That is the whole point. That
so
is like business 101.
There's no business that can survive without being bigger than it was.
No.
None whatsoever.
No. You have to keep growing.
Okay. So
otherwise the marketplace eats you.
So we are artificially propping up businesses because businesses should have a life cycle. They should be born, grow, live at the top, fall off, die, and then new business comes and take. But we artificially prop up businesses.
I am of the mindset that in 28, the auto industry should have went poof. if you and I start a business and we run it like shit, it goes away.
They're not fucking, you know, I'll do you one better. Banks too.
Yeah.
Bye. Y'all did this to yourselves.
Exactly. No, yeah, I'm saying, nope. If Chris, Rich, and Jess start a business together and we run it like shit and it fails, it gets to fail.
But do you understand the logic? If you use the logic of companies only have one goal, and that's to make a profit at any fucking cost to anything, like amorally profits at any cost?
See, no, you're putting amoral into my mouth. I never said amoral. But I'm saying the whole point of a business is it has to keep growing.
No, we've talked about it, and I've been like, what about the ethics of that? And you're like, is it illegal? And I'm like, okay, so there's no morals here? There's no ethics that you, if it's not legal, that's the only reason to keep you from doing something? It's kind of like, being good, we'll get to that. If you're only being good because you think you're going to get rewarded in the afterlife, you're a piece of shit to begin with.
Well, that's an opinion, really. Because you're talking about something that may or may not exist.
No, dude. I've never met a good person, who treats people that they don't have to treat well like shit. Do you see what I'm saying? But I've met a lot of people. Good people treat people they don't have to treat well good. A piece of shit will treat a person, oh, I can get away with treating you like shit, then I'm going
but
to do it.
But your opinion is that's your opinion.
That's a fact, dude. Why would you take advantage of someone just because they're in a situation themselves?
What you're saying, that's all your opinion.
Okay, then you know what? Then it's my opinion. So you don't agree with my opinion. Oh, fucking well, life goes on.
Yeah.
Okay, is that the conversation ender?
That's what the company says to you. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, well then why the fuck should anybody worry about any company and their profit line? Because if the company's going to treat them like we have to extract profit at any cost to you, regardless of whether you can fucking support yourself, then why shouldn't workers be like, well, then we don't give a fuck if we bankrupt the company as long as we get to live high on the hog for the time being.
Well, actually, because your job...
It's short-sighted all around.
Your job isn't a birthright. This isn't India. It's not a caste system.
And neither is making a fucking profit a birthright, but we act like it's the fucking end-all, be-all, so it fucking washes away every corporate sin.
Well, that's kind of how we all...
Profit does not wash away fucking everything they do wrong.
Never said it did.
I don't understand this line of logic. I don't. I mean, if you had the same line of logic through, like, no, yeah, ruthless fucking capitalism.
I'm talking
and
about
that's
the
ruthless from the top
I'm
down.
I'm talking about the mechanics of business, and you're getting into like a moral argument.
This is part of the dude business. Part of business is ethics, okay? And for you to go, well, make it a law then. Once again, that's a bad faith fucking statement on your part to end the conversation because you're trying to fucking position the situation where you can go, gotcha, because you know damn well these corporations
I'm not trying to
got
play gotcha.
You know damn well these corporations, and you're intellectually dishonest if you fucking disagree, have fucking lobbyists and lawyers on fucking retainer to write laws for them favorably. So fuck off with the fucking pass a law shit. How do really? The system's rigged. You just admitted it, and then you're going to say, go fucking petition the system to be fair? This is what I'm saying,
there's a lobbyist
dude.
For everything.
Okay.
There is.
Okay. Okay.
Haven't the last 5 years taught you there's a fucking group that'll make noise about fucking anything?
Sure. How many of them get anything done? Really? Do you think fucking an army
the noisiest ones?
You think an army of fucking Disney lawyers is even fucking worried about workers making noise about some fucking niche fucking bullshit movement they started online? I don't give a fuck. Come on, dude. That's a false equivalency. Don't try to compare a bunch of people online, like literally a dozen people talking about, we want the right to be considered dragonkin, to a fucking bunch of lawyers who are fucking walking in and going, we're going to game the system till we get what we fucking want. I mean, dude, I don't understand what's so hard to admit the system's fucking rigged because we've admitted it before. Now all of a sudden it's like a point of fucking like ideological pride with you. You can't admit it and I don't understand it.
Because we're having two different arguments, man.
Sure. All right, moving on. I'm done. You can keep saying anything you want to. I'm done. Moving on.
All right. Should we just end the show then?
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Do we have anything else on the agenda?
We have some.
Okay. What do we got?
We have the Colorado energy crisis and the utility company, the ones who were blocking off the, or halting the, locking people out of their thermostat.
Which, according to the article and according to what you said, Chris, is a volunteer program.
Yeah, they agree to that shit.
So what the fuck is the point?
There's a program here in Michigan that our electric company has called Smart Currents, and they'll give you a free Nest thermostat, but the catch is, hey, we can control it. So if your area is using a whole bunch of energy, we can just... Like, it's... When I saw that story, I'm like, as far as I know, these programs across the country are voluntary.
Well, I mean, like I said in the group chat, okay, if it's voluntary and you volunteer for it, and then they pull the shit of shutting your fucking thermostat off or locking you out of it or whatever the fuck. Dude, you signed up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, how am I supposed to fucking, like, defend that shit?
Like, I know in Michigan there is no fine print. It is very large print.
Well, it's... I don't know if they did this nationwide, but we had a local car dealership owned by a former Detroit football player.
Superstar?
Malfar Superstar here in the Detroit area. And his vehicles were known for having, what did you call them? Kill switches, I guess? I mean, like,
oh,
if you don't pay your
right.
bill.
Yes.
They would literally, like, instead of just, like, sending out a repo man, they could hit a button and turn your car off wherever the fuck you were to where it wouldn't start up again.
Congratulations, you are now financing a rock.
And apparently they were doing this shit, like, while people were driving, like, in Detroit. So it's just like, I always thought because of that and the fucking fallout, because, I mean, you can imagine people driving on the fucking highway in rush hour. Hey, you didn't pay your fucking car note. We're going to turn your fucking car off. And it's like, oh, boy, that could get somebody killed here in Detroit real quick.
And can we all agree, too, by the time you're getting to where they're shutting anything off or coming to get something, it's not a surprise.
Hey.
I mean, I guess.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about present company. No, but there's generally been several envelopes with some type of red writing. There's been phone calls, perhaps some messages left. Like, by the time they're shutting things off or coming to get your car, you know about it.
Well, coming to get your car, yeah.
It's just...
I didn't have anything electric bill.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because I thought here in Michigan, at least, they'd passed a law that... They couldn't fucking do this shit anymore by burying it in the fucking in the fine print. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had to disclose if they were gonna if you were signing a contract, even if it's a volunteer program. Like, hey, I want to, because I guess, like, you can have certain insurance agencies put a
monitor in your car, like for your braking and if you speed and stuff like that. And if you drive well, it keeps your insurance low or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like they can't just stick that motherfucker in there.
No,
you have to agree to this shit. So
I had it from Progressive. Yeah, you have to like, and two, if you don't send it back, they charge you like $60.
Of course they do. But yeah, so I like, I don't know. The whole situation just kind of struck me as a little strange. But
yeah, even in this DTE article, it's clearly telling you they're going to control it, the hours when they're going to do it, the days of the week when. Like it ain't in fine print. It is in the regular print.
Well, I mean, let's look at California. All right. Not just only with the fucking their pay shit, but they're also going through, I don't even, a power grid crisis, would you call it?
Yeah, they're throwing back to the 90s. Rolling blackouts are coming back after they just mandated everyone has to have an electric car.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can't charge them.
Did y'all see the video of Gavin Newsom recently coming out and asking people to turn up their thermostat to above 78 degrees and to not turn on large appliances and blah, blah, blah? Did y'all see that video by chance?
I think I heard a bit of it.
If you go and watch the video, he's asking people, and this video was recorded during the day, he's asking people to turn their thermostats up to above 78 degrees, right? And in this video, he has the audacity to be sitting in a room that is chilly enough that he is wearing
a sweater
jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like zip up jacket.
That sounds
over
about
his
right.
Clothes. It's like they're intentionally fucking with us at this point.
One of the.
Like, how far could I do it? I dare you to do this in a jacket. Double dog dare you.
One of the YouTube channels that I watch. Is it's like a film review channel, whatever you call it. It's Film Threat with a guy named Chris Gore, local guy from Royal Oak. But
did he work at Thomas Video? I think I heard an interview with him, and I think he did.
He might have. He was like part of the whole fucking Orbit magazine and Metro Times Jammer. Oh, like he goes back.
That's right. I know a guy who knows him. That's right.
He's like in his early 50s. He's like mm-hmm. 5-6 years older than me. But anyways, he's out in California now and he's got, you know, his website and all this shit and his YouTube channel and his partner for the channel was going to some sort of Disney function where they were doing press announcements and stuff. And I believe it was in California, and they were talking about all not laws, executive actions, I guess. Would it be like at the state level, like executive orders or whatever, state level executive orders that they had to follow this and this and this. And apparently, like, because, you know, all you hear about California is, you know, yeah, they're like one more case of COVID from just going in complete 2020 lockdown. Like, it's fucking, you know, they're just going to do all that shit. This guy's like, dude, I'm in an enclosed space. There's no fucking outside windows open. There's probably 300-400 of us. I've seen maybe 4 people with masks. Now, the reason I bring that up is because in California, I was reading articles and from local news sources out there, talking to quote unquote people on the street saying, you know, they're happy with all this stuff. They're happy with this. They're happy with that. And the lockdown measures and for their safety. And we still have mask mandates and this and this. And this is a case of these are people in the industry. So they're probably, you know, I'm saying like they're at a Disney event. I'm betting they're mostly liberal. I'm guessing that room of 400 people
in California
was kind of left leaning.
In the entertainment industry, California, come on.
And they can't even get that fucking, that you know, got to wear that mask bullshit dog to hunt with that bunch. But what was funny was, if you went to talk to any of the talent, meaning actors, directors, shit like that, you had to wear a mask while you were talking to them.
Can infect the chosen ones.
Exactly. It goes back to the whole turn our thermostat up while you're sitting there wearing mm-hmm. a fucking coat. Hey, California, why don't you ban fucking charter flights, private flights? That's your biggest fucking issue as far as your carbon footprint as a state.
Well, don't you,
isn't that what you're worried about?
Well, do you remember our own governor? January 2021. We're in the middle of lockdown number two. Can't travel, can't do this, can't do that. She's flying to Washington to go party with Joe Biden and you know, the inaugural ball and all that shit.
Summer of Love 2020. Remember, can't buy fucking shit from the fucking seeds from the nursery for this and this, and you can't get this done and this done. And then her husband gets caught up north trying... Hey, you know who I am? You know who my wife is? You gotta summarize and ready my boat for the fucking summer fucking months. And they're like, bro, you understand that like the whole world's in lockdown. We don't give a fuck who you are.
My business is hemorrhaging money right now. Sure, let me get your boat in the water.
Yeah, like I don't give a fuck who you are, who you're married to. The only I think because he was that asshole is what got him exposed. Because they were like, you're gonna drop that you don't know who I am.
And then she tried to come out and be like, oh, it was a joke. Dude, I can't wait to vote against her. Oh, man. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be one of those times, like when I voted for Hillary. It wasn't so much voting for her as it was not Donald Trump. That's going to be like in November. It's going to be just voting for not Gretchen Whitmer.
Well, my concern about shit with the utility companies and stuff like this is, and I mean, you know, I'll give you three guesses where I'm going, and the first two don't count. Right now it's voluntary. So, I mean, if you volunteer, I can't really be mad that you got what you asked for. I mean, you asked for it, you got it. Do you expect was going to happen? But my concern is how long until a state like California is like, well, for the good of everybody.
Y'all got to have one of these. Yeah.
And we're going to control it. There's going to be peak and off peak hours and this and this and this, because it's already... Jess, you were absolutely right. I did look this up. It's not just a matter of when to recharge your electric vehicle that the state wants you to fucking have. It's a matter of don't charge your phone during these times. Don't charge your laptops. Don't charge any electronics.
Which, you know, too, Newsom was patting himself on the back earlier this year talking about the budget surplus they had. And now you're talking about our grid is shitty. Hey, buddy. Why don't you take that budget surplus, pour it into the grid, fuckface?
Well, not only that, but doesn't this type of rationing seem like we're not that many steps away from, like, wartime rationing? Like the stories we heard during World War II of, like, you know, or during, like, the gas shortage in the 70s, which I kind of remember that a little bit. But, like, where, okay, if you... You live on this street, you fill up on these days, and this street fills up on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or they do this in California. Water your, you know, odd number water on this day, even number water on this day, except for it turns into, okay, you can charge your shit here, you can charge your shit there. And a state like California, that's a control freak fucking authoritarian like, state. Yeah. They're not going to trust you to do it, so they're going to set shit up to where they can do it for you.
For a state that seems to be lauded as like this progressive land of tomorrow, their outward appearances, they really don't have their shit together. Like they are just one natural disaster away from the fucking infrastructure of that state just fucking crumbling.
What Democratic only run city?
But everyone knows the right pronouns to use.
What Democratic only run city that has been Democratic only run for at least 50 years in this country is prospering? That's a major city.
Well, I was going to say New York, but there was that whole part in the 90s where a Democrat didn't run it.
And that's also coincidentally when it got quote unquote cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle.
Yeah, but that's, you could thank our overlord and savior, Jeff Bezos, or our future overlords, Jeff and Bill, for that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing this to shit on Democrats. I'm just doing it because I'm just pointing out a fact here. Like, Austin is a liberal stronghold in the middle of one of the most conservative fucking states in this fucking country. So, I mean, like, is that really Austin is thriving because they're a fucking liberal stronghold or in spite of being a liberal stronghold?
I think Austin is thriving because it's in a state that doesn't charge a whole bunch of fucking taxes.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
And when you get disillusioned in California, but you still want to have a liberal surrounding, you move to fucking Austin.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just because, yeah, I don't think they exist. There's not an overabundance of them. And I mean, I'm sure that there's a few that we're overlooking. I mean, I guess you can make an argument for Portland. But then I hear about the fucking the horror stories.
Didn't she say running well?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I hear about the horror stories with the fucking, you know, the drug addiction situation.
Oh, dude, no. The
homelessness situation.
I told you when I visited Portland, there was a couple subway stops or whatever their thing was called. Like, you don't get out here. They just, you were essentially getting out into homeless encampments the way those stations were.
I mean, yeah. Why are we looking to California as some sort of leader for this fucking country? I don't understand. Like, you take away let's stop the bullshit. You take away the tech business, which can go anywhere. It does not need, there is no logistical reason the tech industry has to be where it's at in California. There is none.
Yeah.
So that can go anywhere. Hollywood.
Which pretty much is just headquartered there. They shoot everything not in California.
Yeah, they've got to the point where, they shoot out of state because it's cheap. They literally, it's cheaper to film movies, even though they have their fucking headquarters in California, not across the street from their headquarters. To travel halfway across the country, it's cheaper.
Or fuck, they even travel to Canada.
How many
times Toronto has been New York in movies?
And I know that I know that people are going to think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious because this is an industry that does more than the music, television, and movie industry was doing in the late 90s and early 2000s. I don't know about now, especially with the internet, but the porn industry. And even that's starting to fucking, like, major porn studios are starting to fucking, like, flee California and go to different states. I mean, those are three major industries that bring a lot of money into that state that can easily fucking go someplace else.
That shit porn upstairs.
That's what I'm saying. You just as long as you have all the paperwork.
I got an iPhone.
And you're not breaking any fucking any laws and you're not fucking crossing any union.
We go drug up some runaways right now.
We got to do all that. Michigan Lanio's not that far. That's $40, anything you want. And I'll tell the bitch to rebuild my trans for $40. But
isn't OnlyFans just when porn stars started working from home?
Essentially.
I think it's when it really took off. Yeah. Yeah. Not just porn stars, but just sex workers across the board. A lot of fucking strippers, people like that.
Yeah. You can't get stabbed on OnlyFans.
Well, I mean, also, you can't give a lap dance when you can't fucking get within 6 feet of somebody.
Yeah.
I ain't paying you $20 a song. Meanwhile, those songs are 2.5 minutes to watch you shake your ass 6 feet away from me.
I'll throw this out there, too. Can't get herpes from OnlyFans.
No. Digital herpes. But
right. Your computer will have a virus.
Yeah. But you'll be all right. But yeah, like, this myth that California, because, you know, every time you hear about California and all the problems, and people are like, fuck that state's a shithole. All the fucking California simps and defenders come out, and they start with the,
California's, you know, yearly income is more than most fucking European countries, and blah, blah.
And it's like, yeah, and how much of that is really dependent on being in California?
Yeah. It's just the companies that are headquartered there.
It's not a lot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, even like the chip manufacturing, like the shit we found out when we started having shortages with chips, like I found out a lot. Most of them come from fucking other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that most anything tech wise was, you know, we called it Silicon Valley, like we call Detroit the Motor City, because that's where they build the shit, right?
Oh,
we do a lot of fucking chip shit here in this fucking state and then send the chips out there. I'm like, wait a minute. So they're not even manufacturing shit for the tech industry in California? That's not a manufacturing hub?
No.
So ultimately my question is, why the fuck does this country act like we can't exist without fucking California? Am I missing something? Or am I just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's California wanting, hey, you can't, go ahead, secede. Be all right.
I kind of feel like this is a pimp-ho situation. Like, the hoe can make money without the pimp. She just don't know it. That's the crime here.
Does the country act that way? Or
California acts that way.
Well,
I think it's just the narrative that's being pushed right now.
Certain political ideologies act that way. They act like certain parts of California are the gold standard which to measure like what we want to be, what we aspire to be against. I do hear that brought up quite a bit. And I'm like, really? So you want to be like Bakersfield, California? And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm an asshole. And I'm like, oh, because I brought up a point that proved you wrong. Sorry. Yeah. How dare I during a debate?
I just want to be somewhere where the government just edicts everything, mandates everything.
I mean, I've told the story multiple times. My dad was an over-the-road truck driver, owned his own business. You have to pay to get a tax sticker to run in every fucking state you run in. And California, he refused to run in, not just because of the cost of the taxes and all the shit to legally be able to drive in that state, but the nonsense that you have to go through as a truck driver just to drive legal in the state. Like, above and beyond all the fucking hurdles and taxes you got to pay. And I mean, like, people don't understand. That's huge. That is a huge chunk of the country for a fucking truck driver. And he wasn't the only one by a long shot out of a whole lot of owner operators I knew who were like, we don't run California. Fuck California. And this was the 90s. It was already, it had that reputation for business. You want to talk about small businesses? These are small business owners saying fuck California.
Oh, when I was a
25 years ago.
When I was a franchise consultant, oh man, talking to the California guys, those are the guys with the buyer's remorse. Like, if I had to do this again, I would do it in not California. It's a sentence I heard so many times.
I believe it. And I mean, on top of that, how can you fucking run a reliable business in a situation where they're like, yeah, we're just going to have rolling blackouts or, you know, who knows, 5-10 years. Like I said, there'll be like structured times. Okay, this block gets power on for this many hours. And then this, you know, this side of the block gets power for this many hours. You can't run a business like that. And I hear about all this shit. And once again, I just think, unsustainable. This comes off as, once again, politicians and people making decisions and thinking they're kicking the can down the fucking road. We'll let someone else worry about it. When really, it's just they're ignoring the reality of the situation, which is, how can this be a sustainable fucking way to run a fucking state? It doesn't...
I think I read something this year for the first time in, like, years. I want to say... I won't speculate on the number, but more people moved out of California than moved in.
Oh, no, now, I don't know the numbers. I can't.
And apparently that hasn't happened in a long fucking time.
Since like the 50s, I think, if I remember what they said. Like around, since before baseball moved their teams out there.
Really?
So that's the 50s.
Yeah.
So, but I even think of my friends who've moved to Texas, and they talk about the amount of people they meet that have moved to Texas from California. Specifically leaving California because they're like, fuck that. And these are not like hardcore Republicans that were stuck in the land of fucking Newsom. These are like kale chip eating friends of fucking Oscar Wilde. You know what I'm saying? Like liberal as a motherfucker going, they're crazy out there.
Yeah. People who have a job where they're making $250,000 a year and would like to live like they're making $250,000 a year and not $25,000 a year.
No, I get it.
Like, I tell you what, the rest of the country hates California because when I was in Oregon and Washington for work, those fucking people were just, the native Oregonians and Washingtonians were muttering under their breath, like, these motherfuckers just keep moving here. I fucking hate them.
Well,
was happening in Idaho, too, in Boise. A lot of people are moving to Boise from California.
Like, that was one of the conversations I had with a friend of mine. She's like, you know, they move out of California and they move here to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start voting for all the shit that made them move out of California. And then she's been there long enough to where she's starting to see changes happen from people imposing their will who've moved in from out of state. They've just moved in such numbers that they've just changed the fucking the political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're bitching about, let's turn into California part two. And she's like, yeah, because of you dumbasses. You moved here. And now you're voting for all the shit that made you move away from California in the first place.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you? And by the way, this friend is not conservative by any means or stretch. Mm-hmm. And she's like, these people are fucking idiots. And I'm like, yes, stupid is stupid. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you fall on.
I think another thing we're maybe getting at here, too, is like Midwest liberal, West Coast liberal, two very different animals. Midwest liberal is probably closer to libertarian than a West Coast liberal.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Jess, I explained this to somebody this week. I was talking about abortion with a friend, and I was like, yeah, you know, I know people who are not pro-abortion, meaning they wouldn't get one for whatever reason, religious, moral, whatever the fuck. But they're like, I don't think the government should have any right to tell someone else what they can do with their fucking body. And it just blew this person's mind. They're like, well, you never hear about that. And I'm like, that's most people.
Yeah.
That's how most people truly are.
Most people live in the middle.
Most people are like, I don't care what you do. Just shut the fuck up and stop trying to make me pay attention to you doing it. Mm-hmm. Just go. You want to cut your dick off and tuck your balls between your fucking legs and walk around and be a pretty, pretty little girl? I do not care. But don't tell me I have to sit here and clap for you. I got shit to do. If my own kid cut his balls off and cut his dick off and tucked his balls between his fucking legs and was sashaying around, I'd be like, look here, RuPaul, good for you. I got to go to work.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay for your fucking sex change. Ain't going to be your useless cunt of a mother. So guess what? Would you like fries with that?
I think you just got to... Most Americans got shit to do. All this shit we see on the news, all these narratives that there's protests in the street and everybody's pissed off and this and that. I look at those people and go, man, I got to go to work. I don't have time to be middle of the day holding up signs. This, like, yeah, people got normal people got shit to do.
No, definitely for sure. But
the electric company don't take signs.
I mean,
my car note isn't getting paid by social justice.
What is the official name of the fucking student loan thing? Like, I thought they gave it an official name now. Like, it's like the student loan debt for the federal student loan debt forgiveness act of whatever the fuck, whatever the fuck. I'm sure there's some cute name.
Student debt relief plan.
There we go. Okay. Like they were talking about that and they're like, well, this happened because people protested and this happened because, you know, civil disobedience and this happened because, and I'm just going, did this really happen because of all that? Or this happened because we're a couple months away from midterms?
Yeah. It happened because he was doing shitty in the polls and this might help get some youth out for the midterms.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't.
Cause you know, everyone is, you know, I was in the faction bitching, like, I had him, I paid him. And, you know, everyone likes to shut people like me down. And I thought, I heard a good way to phrase this. Like, all right, the government, hey, guess what? We're going to give families making under $250,000 and individuals making under $125,000. We're going to help them out. We're going to give them 10 grand, but only if you went to college. That is the rub with most people. Because what about the people that couldn't afford to go to college? I went to high school with a lot of people who just went right to work. What about those motherfuckers? Where's their 10 grand?
Yeah.
This is why I scoff at when people, fair. You don't care about fair. Fair goes out the window. And fair goes out the window. And even the people who fucking like fight on other people's behalf, everybody's got a number. You forgive enough debt for that person, all of a sudden they'll stop arguing on that person's behalf as mm-hmm. as much as they, you know, as passionately as they have been.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's all there is to it. But I mean, that leads to a bunch of straw man arguments, which is basically what I was trying to get at with this, which is like this whole, you had no problem with the PPP loans. And it's like, what the fuck does that have to do with this?
The PPP loans were to keep businesses going and keep people, I don't know, employed. That at least was the purpose. I know there was a lot of...
Well, no, there's fuckery, but here's the thing. How is that the people who were pissed off that they got to pay for someone else's college and they don't even get a say in what that person's going to study?
Yeah.
In other words, basically, you're paying for a product that you get no benefit from and you're forced to do it.
PPP loans kept a lot of people's lights on. PPP loans kept a lot of people from living on the street.
But to act like one is, you know, I don't know, whatever.
You don't have to compare the two is the whole point of it. Well, having a private or a business loan is not, that's not the same thing as taking out and whenever you start a business, you're not signing up, or you are signing up, but whenever you have times like this, whenever you have the times where the government is shutting shit down, and whenever you are losing customers because of the current events that are happening, these unprecedented times, the government offering assistance is not the same thing as, hey, I took out these loans to go to school and I don't want to pay them anymore.
But see, once again, that's never the argument that I hear. I never hear an argument that's anything but like, this is the argument I hear. I can't afford to pay my loans. It's not fair. And these were predatory loans with predatory loan conditions. And I'm like, okay. And but now that's if they address any of the fucking points. And if not, all they do is attack the person who is going, I don't feel that I should have to pay for somebody's fucking loan unless I got a say in what, you know.
Can I add an addendum to everything you just said? Not you, the royal you, in that sentence. That you agreed to. We're back to the argument with the thermostat. You agreed to these terms. This wasn't a surprise. It's literally called a loan.
Well, there is coercion, and this is where, like, parents are just once again doing what parents excel at doing, which is, I did my best, and washing their hands of a situation. What about the fact that they were beating this drum for us? So we know that they were beating it for the people who came just a few years after us. Got to go to college, man. Got to get that college education, man. Got to get that college education. Really? 2-year degree is like a high school diploma now. You can walk in, fucking say you got a 2-year, you say you got an associate's degree all day long. No one will ever ask for transcripts or ask for a piece of paper.
And the rub for me is,
they don't care. It doesn't matter.
Just piggybacking on what you're saying, the rub for me is now we have our president standing up there and saying a college degree is no longer your guaranteed ticket to the middle class. Then why the fuck you been screaming college education at us for the last 30 fucking years? What you did is you diluted the market. We're back to economics here. You drove the value of something down because you put too much of it. It's like we did with money in the last 2 years. You put so much of it out into the marketplace, you drove the fucking value of it down. And that's what they did with bachelor's degrees. I think I heard maybe 5 to 10 years ago, a bachelor's degree right now, or at least when I heard it, was like having a high school degree in 1958. That's how many of them are out there.
When I graduated high school, if you had a 2-year fucking degree, that was something. You had a 4-year degree or higher,
you're the man.
Shit, yeah.
Look at the big brain on Brett.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a very frustrating situation because more and more, I'm starting to see. Bill Maher brought this up, by the way, and I know probably no one here watches Bill Maher because no one here has fucking HBO. Or, well, Jess might have HBO Plus or Go or whatever the fuck they call it, Max. I don't know. They keep changing the name every 5 fucking days, it seems like. But
I don't know why I'm being called out on this.
You're not being called out, millennial. Calm down. I'm just saying that you might actually have it.
Hey, your use of that word is problematic.
Okay. I can't look. Here's the deal. I can't fucking sail the seas in real time with Bill Maher. So I got to watch clips when they come out a week after the fucking episode. So that's how that works. But he basically gave a breakdown of how we as a society have just devolved into arguing straw man points the minute we hear something we don't like, or doing, which is, I mean, to a certain extent, it is straw manning. When someone brings up a point that you don't like or you don't want to refute or you don't want to acknowledge, you instead of attacking their argument, you immediately go to attack them. And you bypass the argument completely, which is just another way of saying you're escalating the situation. And that's what I see happen with a lot of the shit we're talking about with this stuff. It's just everybody I've had a conversation with on the phone or in person who I feel has 2 brain cells that are competent and alive and conscious to rub together has been standoffish at first at the beginning of the conversation. But within a few minutes into the conversation, we were talking about like nuanced takes on this subject. Like, hey, if we're going to pay for it, we should have a say. We're purchasing a product. We're purchasing a person's degree. We should have a say in what the fuck from here on out. Now, I understand we can't do nothing about ones you already have. Fine. We'll eat that. But from here on out, no, motherfucker, you're not getting an underwater basket weaving degree on my fucking dime. I don't give a fuck because you're not going to make any goddamn money with it. The only people who are making money off that bullshit degree are the people charging you for that bullshit degree. That's it. This isn't even good capitalism. You know what I'm saying? Like that. their grift is so fucking refined, you can't even grift off their grift. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like put a stipulation.
That's bad capitalism.
Put a stipulation for the loan. Like, yeah, you got to get a job that pertaining to this degree when you get out. You know, something like that.
Or just flat out, look, we're not going to see. Talking to one friend, she the job she has, her you know, Venn diagram kind of fucking overlaps with the mental health industry. And she's like, do you understand how many fucking counselors and therapists, licensed, degreed therapists and counselors are out there? And do you understand that, like, a six-year degree maybe guarantees you'll start somewhere around, like, $34,000, $35,000 a year? A six-year fucking degree in that. So why the fuck are women flooding the fucking degree market with that? You know what? Why should we pay for your fucking degree for you to sit on your ass for, you know, three decades after spending a decade to get your six-year fucking degree in counseling that you're never going to fucking use? Oh, but by the way, American people are going to pick up 10 grand of that. And by the way, I said this to Jess before, we were talking about, how is this going to end up? I just want to know, because it's going to happen. If you're excited about this because you're getting 10 grand, you know, forgiven or whatever, good for you, but understand, it's going to be the middle class who ends up paying for this. Corporate America is not paying for this, and poor America, poverty fucking, people living in poverty in America don't have money to pay for this. Middle class America will pay for this. So basically, fold yourself in half and suck your own dick and swallow, because that's what you're doing. You're not getting a blowjob. You're sucking your own dick. But that's never brought up.
Yeah.
That never gets brought up. And I still am like, how are we covering this?
It's the bottomless coffers that is the American taxpayer.
Well, and even, like I said, even people who the conversation would start off and they would go to their ideological corner and get in their fucking, you know, their little fucking Fighting Irish stance and shit. Like, once I was like, calm the fuck down. No one's here to pick a fight with you. Let's talk about this reasonably and logically. This is a service that the American people are purchasing. We should get something of value for what we're spending. Agree or disagree? Well, I agree with that. That wasn't hard, now was it? Now we can move on. We have a foundation to build on. This is how shit gets done when adults are in charge. Oh, God.
I'm still arguing I should get my, I don't use the schools, but then I get told, well, you have to contribute to the greater good of the community. Those are everybody's schools and you live in the community. Well, I don't fucking use them.
Well, how about this? Now that I've lived in your community for a while, they need to refund everybody in this community. There's a whole lot of dumb people around here. Schools ain't doing all that great of a fucking job.
Welcome to Macomb County, son.
I'm just saying, man. Like,
you want intelligence? You gotta go north of Hall Road.
Hey, to be fair, where I moved from before had a much bigger tax base, and they are much higher up on the statewide ranking as far as their public schools. And it shows, but it's only like marginally it shows. So like, I think the average person is just dumb. So, yeah. Like, what is it George Carlin said? Think of how dumb the average person is, and then think half the people are dumber than that person.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Just saying, we got Automation Alley. We got the lunch pail crowd out here. Not a lot of thinkers.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
So, anything, what else we have on there?
Chris was telling us in the pre-show about the crazy shit that's been happening that we didn't know anything about.
There were just two stories this last week. They're just shit out of movies. There was one guy who's the CFO for Bed Bath & Beyond, hurled himself out of a fucking window, like straight out of, like, you know, some Wall Street type shit. Apparently, like, it was right after they announced some, like, big financial restructuring where they're going to have to lay off, like, 20% of the workforce. And he also got caught up, too, in the big pump and dump. I don't know if you were following. They were like a big meme stock over the summer. And one of the, you know, the quote, activist investors from the whole GameStop thing from, you know, a year and a half ago was involved. And yeah, and they drove up the price, got it to be, you know, the stock to be a price that it had no business being. And then fucking they sold all their share. By the way, this activist investor did exactly what the hedge funds he was raging against did. He drove up the price and then sold out and made a bunch of money.
You sure that this was one of the activist investors?
Yes.
Because the original...
Oh, the word activist investor is attached every time you see this guy's name. Activist is Sean something.
No, I got you. I just want to make sure because the original people who started that GameStop shit,
mm-hmm.
that was not trying to make some ideological point. They're like what they call the stock bros or the day trader yeah. bros or something. It's literally a bunch of motherfuckers with like junior college fucking MBAs sitting around fucking trying to make money on the stock market. And what was funny, the reason I bring that up is because in the media, it got spun rather quickly into like, these are people taking back from corporate America. No, and I'm not. Like, no, that these are wannabe corporate Americans.
Yeah, it's the same motherfuckers. They just don't have a job yet.
I'm like, this is Charlie Sheen in fucking Wall Street. This is Giovanni Ribisi in Boiler Room.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to our co-host at the time, like, motherfuckers who sit on Reddit all day don't, these aren't these people.
No.
Yeah. No. The people who sit around on Reddit all day do not have this knowledge. You have to be taught this knowledge. You have to be taught how to do this shit.
Someone on Reddit, because...
Like, I sat next to a guy for a few years who was taught how to play... Like, he no longer worked there. Shocking. But he sat there and he traded commodities all day. And he talked about how he was trained to do it. He was taught to look for patterns and, like, when to sell and when to buy. Like, yeah, some asshole sitting around drinking Mountain Dew and eating fucking gorditas on Reddit all day does not have this knowledge.
And it's probably something as simple as someone who has one foot in some sort of fucking weird Reddit community... And another foot in the fucking, like, stock bros
mm-hmm.
subreddit, whatever the fuck it was called, and just mentioned it and was like, hey, guys, anybody got any extra money? Wants to play a stock market? And next thing you know, a bunch of fucking they-them showed up talking about, we're going to make money for diversity, inclusivity,
we're taking
equity.
It back. You're not taking back the stock market. Are you fucking shit? Do you know how much global commerce is moved by that thing? But anyway, so... Yeah, this guy, this Gustavo, whatever, this Bed Bath & Beyond CEO, just he gets caught up in the pump and dump scheme with the stock and all this. And then, yeah, just last weekend, just fucking hurls himself out a window. Like, so that's just something I saw that, like, that to me is going to be interesting to just keep following up on the more they pull the onion back. Because, like, to me, like, the two things that we knew about, I don't think he threw himself out. You know what I'm saying? I bet they're going to find, like, some crazy shit. Because he was being lauded as, like, they brought him aboard during the pandemic, and he's turned the company around and this and that. But, yeah, I just found it just some shit out of a movie. It was just something I was like, put a pin in this. We're going to hear more. Because initially, when it first happened, it was being reported as this guy jumped out, he fell. He fell out a window. I was like, yeah, sure he did. And sure, it took 24 hours. Oh, no, he committed suicide. So there's that. And then there's this news reporter in Las Vegas who got stabbed outside his home. And when I initially read this story, it was just, oh, yeah, he got stabbed. But the more you read the story, he covered the mafia in Las Vegas. And he'd been doing it for like 2 decades. And he's like gotten awards for some of his stories. And he's exposed a few people. And yeah, it was another story. I was like, there's going to be more. And then all of a sudden, sure as shit, somebody who he's investigated, all of a sudden they found like, you know, the DNA, you know, in this, the guy's been arrested. And if you see what I think the hilarious part of this story too is if you can Google it, just Google like a Las Vegas news reporter killer video. But like, dude, this was a setup. This guy had a sun hat because I think somebody's Ring doorbell caught it. This guy had like a sun hat on. A mask, was wearing gloves, was essentially just outfitted like, just looked like a walking avatar, just walks up to this guy, fucking stabs him, and just keeps moving. And I just thought these were, like I said, I didn't think we'd get, like, you know, two crazy 15-minute segments out of them, but just news stories that came across my radar in the last week that I was like, huh. I think the common thread for me was my bullshit detector went off immediately when seeing the first reportings of these. It was like, there's going to be more. And, like, sure as shit, there was. Like, a news reporter who's been investigating the mafia for 20 years doesn't just get fucking stabbed going to get his fucking newspaper on Saturday morning.
Right.
You know, a guy who's been embroiled in all this financial scandal just doesn't fall out of a fucking window.
I'm just wondering, how long until his bosses find a way to fucking try to spin it and be like, this is the hard part of being, you know, a CEO that no one knows about. And like, you know what I'm saying?
He couldn't stand that 20% of our workforce was going to get laid off and he couldn't take it.
Well, there was like,
this is the face of mental illness.
There was some CEO who laid off people a couple months ago, I guess. And then like posted on Twitter a picture of him, like with the sad Indian tear rolling down his cheek.
Oh boy.
Even though that dude was not Indian. Or Native American, even. He was actually Italian. But yeah. And it was like this is like, it's hard for me and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, okay, even if it is hard for you, it ain't the time, bro. You just let a whole bunch of motherfuckers go.
I guess he's having a harder time. The person just lost his fucking job, buddy.
Yeah, who's got to go home and explain to the kids why they got to pack up and say goodbye to all their friends and their entire life they've known and the only life they've ever known because dad doesn't have a job in fucking Silicon Valley anymore.
Guess what, kids?
The fuck it was.
Santa's dead.
But yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind here because I just think like corporate America. For as much as I have disdain for a lot of the bullshit that goes on there, they take their cues from fucking us. And they've learned that, like just like what you were talking about earlier, it's like people competing for the oppression victimhood Olympics. It's like the more victimized you are, the higher up on the podium you are, the better, you know, the most victimized person gets the gold medal type situation. And corporate America's seen that shit, and they know they're fucking. They'll lean into that shit because here's the thing: there will be people that buy it.
They're telling you what their marketing department is telling them. We want to hear. I feel like I'm a goddamn broken record.
I mean, and of course, I'm thinking this like so. There'll be like you said, the guy worked for Bed Bath and Beyond. Bed Bath and Beyond. Probably there's probably going to be some sort of like you know corporate attempt at spin. Like you know, this is about, like you said, the face of mental illness and blah blah blah. The unforeseen side of the CEO life and all this and us at the CEO community at Bed Bath Beyond and all this shit. But like they know because like I said, they see that's what we want. That's why. Like the new She-Hulk series come out. And one of the things that people were criticizing about it is like in the first or second episode, Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Hulk, is explaining to, I forget the actress's name who plays She-Hulk, but basically if you lose your temper, you're going to turn into the Hulk. You have to control your temper, blah, 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 blah. And she goes on this rant about like, you know, I have to listen to men tell me how to do my job. You know, I know how to do it better. And I get catcalled on the street. And if I don't play along with what men say, I could even get killed and blah, 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 blah. So I control my anger infinitely better than you. And it was just like people were going, why the fuck is Disney and Marvel putting out a television show where their two fucking lead characters are arguing about and having a competition over who can be more self-pitying?
I just know that from all the nerds I've heard She-Hulk is terrible.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like it was a great fucking bunch of source material to start with. I mean, it's kind of campy and dude, she broke the fourth wall in the 80s and the 70s.
I just know I saw a couple clips and was like, what is going on here? There's Hulk and it's a woman and she's a lawyer. What is happening?
That's for the Weedsman, bro. Unless Jess is a secret fan, I haven't watched an episode. I've just seen clips like
no,
you.
I'm just saying,
idea what the fuck's going on.
I'm just saying, I just can't glean from any clip I've seen, like, what is this show about? Is there a hero? Is there an enemy?
She's a lawyer.
She's just trying to make it in a man's world.
She's the cousin of the Hulk in the comic books is how it goes. She's
Ellie McHulk?
Cousin of the Hulk, and she got a blood transfusion, and it turned her into She-Hulk, but she retains her persona. She doesn't go all, like, feral like the Hulk does. So, yes, it is kind of like Ally McBeal She-Hulk. That's kind of what it was. It was like how Deadpool is in the movies and in the comic books that people have seen, how he talks to the, you know, breaks the fourth wall, is aware that he's a fictional character in a fictional character universe. That was all She-Hulk well before even Deadpool was a thought in anybody's mind. So I think they're trying to go back and mine that. But that doesn't matter to me. It's the fact that you have, like I said, why do you have your two main characters sitting there talking about, like, having a competition about who feels worse for themselves because they have it so bad? Aren't these heroes?
Because 2022.
Aren't they supposed to, like, aren't heroes supposed to overcome things? You're not a victim of something. You're a survivor. You overcome it. Isn't this the language we've all had beaten to our head for the last decade?
In 2022, buddy. It's victimhood culture. It is the
Well, no, we know what it is. It's double fucking speak. We're going to say one thing, but we mean something else. Oh, we're not victims. We're survivors. No, you're absolutely victims, and that's how you're going to fucking paint the shit. But yeah, and then the whole like part of the thing with She-Hulk was the fact that because she knew she was a fictional character in a comic book, she would talk to the creator. Kind of like back in the day, remember watching Saturday morning cartoons when like Bugs Bunny would be drawing Daffy Duck and Daffy Duck would be like, fuck you, you know, or whatever, because he's like, you know, putting him through hell, that kind of thing. So the quote unquote objectification of She-Hulk was always done, ironically, tongue planted firmly in cheek. Wink, wink, we know what we're doing. You're in on the joke. So that's why when, like, she's twerking or whatever the fuck with Megan Thee Stallion and in whatever episode she was doing that in, like, I saw that clip, and the first thing I didn't think, like, oh, this is horrible. This is sexualizing She-Hulk. No, I was just like, my God, this is baby boomer level cringe, is what this is. This is like,
this is garbage.
This is like bad early 60s sitcom shit that like my dad and my mom would be like, oh, I loved my three sons, Mr. Ed. Oh, I loved those shows. And it's like, yeah, and they suck. And and when you watch them, you're very aware you're watching shows from the 50s and early 60s.
Remember when Ed was on the Dodgers? He had the bat in his mouth.
Well, now every time you're going to turn on She-Hulk from here on out, it's going to... Oh, look, she's twerking. It's like Saint Anger. No, don't put solos on the album, Metallica. That won't fucking set it for your entire fucking career and legacy after you die. This is when they were trying to sell out and be fucking hip and new metal and get rid of solos. This is when Marvel Disney was fucking desperate, and so they had She-Hulk twerking. What, dabbing on them was too fucking 2018? I mean, it's just, that's, once again... That's the criticism that I level at the show, and what I get back is, who hurt you? Why do you hate women? And then my favorite, fictional characters. So you're going to sit here and type out five fucking paragraphs attacking me after you fucking cyber-stalked my profile to find anything that you could personally attack me for because I said something about fictional characters that you don't care about and you think it's stupid that I care about enough to post about them. Do I even need to point out how much... bullshit that is? I mean, like,
so that, my social media is, here's another music video, how about some cats?
I'm telling you, dude, the shit people fucking, the hoops they jump through to fucking protect themselves from having to think critically about anything, and just to, so they can go back to their very comfortable, like, oh, you don't like it because you're an istaphobe. No, I don't like it because I can drive holes through the fucking plot in the fucking show. That's why. Because the CGI looks like something from literally the early 2000s.
Everything is not all or fucking nothing.
I mean, what are you going to do? That's the world we live in today. You can't criticize, hey, this CGI looks like... And here's the bitch of it. You figure now that the activists who are fucking supporting and pumping up She-Hulk and all these shows and being shills for Disney and Marvel and Star Wars and all this shit... You figure that they would fucking jump on this bandwagon because it came out in the last couple months that Lucasfilm and Disney's CGI artists are fucking quitting and falling out at record numbers because they're being worked so hard. And Disney is literally telling them, like, we don't care if the end product is substandard. We need content. Get it out. Now, all these activist people, you figure that this would be something that sounds tailor-made for them to jump on, right? Be like, hey, stop fucking putting profits over people. These are fucking human beings. Stop working them like this. And we have visual proof. Look at CGI from 2008 in the movie Iron Man. Look at CGI from the last fucking Marvel movie. And it looks worlds apart. That this 2008 CGI and special effects look way better than the 2022 ones do. Obviously, being worked, as they call it, crunch culture in the tech industry is affecting the end product, yet they have nothing to say about it, and they defend these corporations blindly and loyally to a fault. But they hate all corporations, and they hate corporate America, and they hate capitalism. Sure. I don't understand it.
I don't. The one thing I will argue is I think to me and you and to a tech worker under 30, we probably have very different definitions of working hard.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard the horror stories about video games trying to make the release date and people working like 20-hour shifts and sleeping for 3.5 hours, getting up and doing another 20-hour shift. I find it hard to believe that Disney set that Disney's running people ragged like that, and there's been no fucking leaks in today's culture.
Exactly.
Someone would have leaked a fucking... They turned on a cell phone, set it on a table, and got some Disney executive saying something crazy, or somebody would have fucking took pictures of an internal memo or something and leaked it.
And that's just me, because I've been supervising people for... Like, I had to work 47 hours this week. This is unacceptable. They told me 40 when they hired me. Like, that's... I wonder if, like, it's that kind of shit. But it's... Because, yeah, where's the bombshell? Where's the expose? Where's the social media campaigns? Fuck, Netflix puts out somebody who fucking works, you know, was just hired in the mailroom, doesn't like. There's a fucking online protest fucking the next day.
Well, like I said, it's... You can visibly see the end result of... It's either, like, okay... Amazon bought the rights and they put out this spinoff of Lord of the Rings. I'm not into Lord of the Rings. I don't know anything about it, so I can't really talk about it with authority, but I can talk about this subject with authority. The costume design, they had like scale armor. So it's supposed to be armor that has scales like a lizard or a snake, right? And it's body armor. Do I need to explain that body armor is supposed to stop things, right? So they have, now this is a show that they spent $1 billion on one season, supposedly. $1 billion on 10 episodes, 8 or 10 episodes, I can't remember.
Well, I remember scale armor, the worst armor you could get in D&D.
Well, the breastplate, the chest armor, is solid. And then it's solid around the wrist and up to the elbows. And then it is, now, this is $1 billion spent on special effects and all around this season. It's supposed to be armor. It is literally Lycra printed in a scale fucking pattern. That's, and you can see in high def. It sticks out like a sore thumb. And I'm like, $1 billion.
Hey, buddy, when's the workout? What time's the trainer show up?
You can't fucking produce better costumes for $1 billion project than that. That's either incompetence or they're driving motherfuckers way too hard behind the scenes. And either way, it is proof right there. You see it. You see that they're cutting corners. They're even HBO, which is considered the go-to, the prime, you know, the go-to network for prestige television for the last 20 plus years. Their new Game of Thrones show, you know, it's based on a house in the Game of Thrones universe where everyone has white hair and it's like real long. And it's like, I mean, just like blindingly white. And well, it's supposed to be, or silver, whatever. So in the Game of Thrones, there was only one of those characters. They used a human hair wig. Each wig was like $10,000. Well, this is about a whole fucking, like, medieval house. Hundreds of extras. They're not using real human hair. They're going to use synthetic hair. And even HBO, we've gotten to the point where I don't know if the cameras are so good that we can't hide the effects anymore. But watching the show, I'm like, that looks like tinsel on people's heads blowing around in the wind. It doesn't even look natural nor real whatsoever. And I mean, these are the criticisms that are getting leveled at these type shows. and are being completely dismissed. And people are just going, you just hate it because it's got strong females and hobbits of color. And it's like, I just explained to you why this show looks cheap. And you didn't address or acknowledge anything I said and just made up your own bullshit. By the
way, there's a sentence I never thought I would hear ever. You hate hobbits of color?
Well, yeah, dwarves of color. Remember, I had a good laugh about that. Mm. Which, by the way, the dwarf from fucking Bad Santa wants to know where that bitch is so he can tune that hoe up. Because he's like, bitch, I was an elf and a dwarf, and I was colorful before you. So, yeah. But, so yeah, I think that's hilarious. And once again, it just, to me, it fits in with everything that you see. It's like, even in corporate America, where they would, like, I'm sure there's people in corporate America that would be more than happy to slice their own mother's throat to put a couple more pennies in their bank account. They'll be happy to fucking sow the seeds of their own destruction with this shit and fucking kowtow to these people. And it's like, don't you realize that these people aren't going to buy your product? These people aren't going to support you in the long run. And you've already ran off and told all the real fans, go fuck yourself, because they're like, dude, you spent $1 billion on this, and it looks like something that we could have done in our fucking AV club. Like, and instead of going, yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe we need to try to make it look a little bit better for next season.
Maybe give the actors a little less and put more into production costs.
You know what I'm saying? Something along those. Instead of doing that, it's no, attack the fans. And that's where we're at now. And that's this is why, like, I didn't watch Kenobi. I got sucked into the new Game of Thrones show. I'll say this. This is a series that the books are written and the story's out. It's all out there from beginning to end. So unlike Game of Thrones, they're not trying to finish a story that's not finished. So it sucked me back in. But I mean, like, I don't watch any of these new shows because I'm just fucking sick of being told before the shows even air that, oh, if you're a Star Wars fan and you're over this, you know, this age, or if you're this color, or if you have this genitalia, well, we don't want you here, and this is for everybody, and Star Wars is inclusive, and Lord of the Rings has always been diverse, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, okay, I don't care about any of that. Can you just tell a good story? Because you can't. You're incapable of it. I mean, and why would fans want to come back to a franchise that's been calling them fucking racist and homophobes and everything fucking else for the better part of a decade now?
Back to why would you vote for people who don't have your best interests in mind?
Because that's
kind of the same thing.
That's all that runs. I mean, real answer, no one has your best interest except for maybe the local guy who you grew up with who's running for city council. Everybody else is like, yeah, sure, I got your best interest. You gonna vote for me? Yeah, sure.
When's the white male gonna get theirs, Rich?
Oh, well, supposedly we're still getting it, right?
Oh, that's right. I got a whole bunch of white privilege checks upstairs that I haven't cashed yet. Come on, we all make $50,000 a year just for being white. It's part of the deal.
That's the secret. You're not supposed to tell that.
Oh, I talked about Fight Club.
Shit.
Oh, it's good. Correction. I talked about White Club.
Well, now we have to kill you.
All right, well...
Hey, I got lines on a jihad. Watch it.
Anything else?
That fully covered our list, but I had a realization a little bit ago, and we definitely do not have to talk about it. We probably shouldn't talk about it. It's gotten late. But I don't know... None of us even brought up Biden's speech about MAGA Republicans. Like, that was totally just... not even on our radar. Jennifer Lawrence is more important than Biden talking about this shit.
The guy said he's going to unite us and then talk shit about 74 million people.
Well,
yeah.
This is why this speech went in one ear and out the other. Anything he was saying, it's what he said on the campaign trail when he was running against Trump. This is just rehashed with a tone deaf backdrop. How did they look at that backdrop and think that's a good idea? That looks like the fascist pink fantasy from The Wall, straight up,
yeah,
mixed with Third Reich imagery.
They should put an armband on them.
I mean, that's the same colors and everything. Like, no. In our current society obsessed with optics, there's no way that was by accident. Somebody thinks that that's a winning formula. And that just terrifies me, because it's like, that's how people voted for fucking Hitler.
And with the, by the way, the armed guards behind him.
Okay, if Trump was up there giving a speech in front of a blood red fucking projection with two Marines armed standing guard behind him,
with his fist
in the air in a fucking Hitler pose,
Rachel Maddow might actually cry on TV if that happened.
Rachel Maddow would come back to TV. That bitch ain't on TV.
Oh, that's right. She left.
That bitch would come out of retirement for that. Right. That's so. I mean, like. Jess, that's why, to me, that speech, I was like, that's the same shit he was saying on the campaign trail in 2020.
Right. It's just, it's wild to me, because I didn't think of it either, and y'all know how into that I am. I didn't even think about it for a discussion point, because it's just, there was nothing surprising. No one was shocked by this. But it didn't even, like I said, there's so many other things, like Colorado cutting people's, locking people out of their thermostat, that we would rather be talking about than what should be absolutely groundbreaking. You know, like, that should be something that everyone's like, holy shit. And it's just like, oh, another Thursday. Cool. Go Biden. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that point up.
But I mean, once again, that goes back to, I feel like once Trump announced in 2015 that he was running, we removed the bar for political discourse and civility in politics, even if it's not politics debating or having interaction with each other. Just like I said, the optics of that entire speech, I mean, first of all, either of you been to Independence Hall in Philly?
No.
No.
Okay. That building is not that color. I've been there. I've been there multiple times. The lights at the foot of that building aren't that color. It's not lit up that color. It had to be changed to that color. Somebody was like, get me blood red and let's light up Independence Hall. That's going to be a good look. Seriously. This is not... Folks, understand... Nothing that you saw was, whoops, my bad. That was all very planned. Chris and I went to school for this shit. Motherfuckers' careers come to an end for fucking up and letting shit like that go when it's not supposed to. That was on purpose, trust me.
It's Gavin Newsom giving his talk about keeping your house warm while wearing a jacket. In my opinion, it's what the fuck are you going to do about it?
Well, it's like during COVID, all the fucking state governors and shit. How many fucking cell phone videos did we see of these governors and shit getting ready to give their address? And they're standing in a crowd of like, you know, four or five people. No one's 6 feet apart socially distancing. No one wearing a mask. They put on a mask, they walk 10 feet over to a podium, and then they take the mask off and give their speech. That is literally political theater. There's no reason to put that fucking mask on.
Mm-hmm.
There's none. You were just doing that for fucking show. Literally for show. That's it. So, I mean, like, I think we're desensitized to it to the point where we don't, like, it registers, but it registers like you driving past somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire. You might think, oh, that sucks for them. But it's not something that you're going to keep coming back to and think about throughout the day. You just, oh, yeah, that sucks. They got a flat tire. Oh, government just gave a hell world speech. Okay. All right. President just basically said, hey, all the worst parts of the Bible. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for next couple of years.
Well, and the whole thing with the point that I keep making to this is that the whole speech was not about Republicans, and he wants to make it clear it's not about Republicans, it's about MAGA Republicans. When did MAGA, which stands for Make America Great Again, when did that become a bad word?
When Trump put it on a hat.
Yeah, because the rebuttal to that was America was never great. Immediately, I heard that. And I started seeing blue hats with America was never great. And
or it was code for Make America White Again.
Yes, definitely. When the MAGA hats first made their appearance, there was a lot of talk of dog whistle racism, which is a convenient way of saying I have no proof, but I'm going to act like I do. So, yeah. Right. But honestly, Jess, to be completely honest with you, like, I expected a lot more from the usual suspects in even the not the legacy or mainstream media, you know, like Breaking Points on YouTube or, you know, whatever, The Hill. Like, I was expecting their coverage to be a lot more bombastic, maybe, but it pretty much seemed like it was, guys, we know what it looks like, and it looked horrible. We'll be the first to admit it, but this is word for word the same shit he was saying on the campaign trail 2.5 years ago. It's no different. Like, it's the packaging that makes it look a lot more insidious now. And, I mean, like I said, that has to, I do not believe. I can be convinced. There's a 1% chance that someone could walk through this door right now and convince me that was an accident. But I wouldn't bet anything on it. Come on, dude. That was just too much. Come on.
That was approved. There were several signatures that said yes, yes.
Multiple levels of bureaucracy signed off on that. Yes, I'm getting at.
Absolutely, it's the federal government. Absolutely, there's at least a dozen signatures,
and that's the part that blows my mind about it. And I think that's the part that once I saw that no one was really talking about, because now, granted, I don't watch Fox, I don't watch MSNBC, I don't watch CNN, and I don't watch clips of their shows unless they're like edited into other clips of something I'm watching. So I don't know what they were reporting, but like I said, the news outlets that I check in on, they pretty much were like, take away the fucking scary presentation, it's a big nothing burger. It's just, it's a bone to his fucking, and I'm using air quotes because, you know, that's what's best for a fucking audio medium, his base, and his attempt to try to separate himself from previous statements, like Jess, like you know, you're talking about this MAGA Republicans. This is his attempt, in my mind, to not have a bitterly clinging to your guns and Bible deplorables moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was them like, hey, I'm attacking MAGA supporters. I'm not attacking Republicans. There's a difference here.
But if you look at the results of the last election, you just talk shit about 74 million people.
Yep.
They don't care. I mean, they did the same thing in 2016. What was it? MSNBC? A couple weeks after the election, when like the reality of it was really setting in for the fucking usual suspects, and they were like, you know, just... It doesn't matter. Whatever. Well, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I was saying that was it. I just wanted to... I had that revelation. I wanted to bring that up to you guys.
Well, I think the bigger takeaway from this is the fact that pretty much America took a look at that speech, was like, wow, that looks bad. Everybody online had their fun, meme the fuck out of it. And then once the substance of the speech was actually fucking analyzed, it was like, there's not much there. And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think it did what he thought it was going to do. I don't think it made independents or maybe center-leaning or right-leaning centrists like feel like, oh, I'm on Biden's side now.
After that speech, nobody who was on the fence changed their mind.
Yeah, because, look, the minute that raid happened, and I believe I said this on the show when we first talked about it, even the fucking Republicans who are looking to the future of the party, and looking at people like DeSantis to be the fucking leader, you know, the future leader of the Republican Party, even they, the minute that fucking raid happened, threw their support in behind fucking Trump. Even DeSantis fucking bent the knee to a certain extent to Trump. You know? And I mean, I'm not saying that they have an adversarial relationship, but there is a competition there because these are two high... people who are high up in industries where you cannot have, it's impossible to get to where they're at without having killer instinct is what I'm saying. So, yeah, but yeah, I just, like I said, once I saw the reaction to it, I was like, wow, we're so desensitized to this type of language, because it was inflammatory when Trump said the shit in 2015, and fast forward, we're not even a decade later, and I mean, well, shit, you don't even have to go. 2016, Trump said the shit, the campaign trail in 2020. Like I said, this is a 2020 campaign speech reheated with a few fucking modern updates thrown in there.
It
didn't move the needle. And I think that that's telling. And I think that's telling in a way of like, I don't think that anything any of these politicians have tried to hit upon to spark a fire under people's asses to get out and vote and get motivated and to actually be motivated about the midterms and the upcoming presidential election in 2 years. I don't think any of these fucking subjects that they're throwing out is working.
It's people vote with their wallet, dude.
Nobody's talking about the economy. Nobody's talking about what the fuck we're going to do with the supply chain breakdowns. All this shit. By the way, people that I would talk to across the country that I'm friends with who would say all this supply chain shit is conspiracy theories, they're now starting to be affected by it. The last year has taught me something. I know a lot of dumb motherfuckers who think that if it doesn't happen to them, it doesn't happen to
them. Right?
So, yeah. But I just thought that was funny. I'm like, oh, out there in MAGA country, it's finally reached you. It's starting to hit you. You're starting to see it. Yeah, this is some bullshit. I can't get chicken at KFC. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to our fucking world for the last 6 months. The only times I went to go pick up a fucking order, oh, you got to call the customer because we don't have that. You don't have burgers at Burger King. Like, you understand it's in the name, right? I'm just saying. Like, I'm not telling you your business.
Should we address your food ordering process?
I'm just trying to help you. Yeah. Just give you a hint here.
But, whatever you ordered last week for hamburger meat, double it.
All right. So, yeah. Is that it? We wrapping this baby up?
Think so. Put a bow on it.
Better wrap that gavel up. Follow us on social media at GenExhaustedPod on Twitter. Same thing on Facebook where you can like us. Go to ChristopherMedia.net. Hit the PayPal button. Hit the Amazon banner. That is how you can support the show. And wherever you listen to the show, if you can rate and review us, we would appreciate that. 1, 5, I don't know. If you make shit up, make up a 7-star. I don't give a shit. So as long as we can get some feedback and other people can find out about the show, that's the whole point. So if you do that for us, we'd appreciate it. Please and thank you. Other than that, we'll see you next week.
Later, guys.
See ya.
visiting ChristopherMedia.net.